order the May 11th, 2012 Budget Committee meeting for the Devil's Lake Water Improvement District fiscal year 2012-2013. I guess we should start with introductions. Director Ward, why don't you?
I'm introduced.
Douglas Perry.
Randy Weldon.
Alex Ward.
Jim Park.
David Skirvin.
Jim Hoover.
Noel Walker.
Okay, first order of business on the agenda is the election of the chair and vice chair for the Budget Committee. Do I have any nominations for the chair?
Don Sell's not here. Let's nominate him. That's the usual.
I'd nominate Brian Green.
I was going to do that, too.
No.
Second. Okay, we have a nomination and a second. Discussion?
Thank you, Brian Green.
I've done it before. Spread it around.
I chaired last night. It's your turn. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. So Brian Green will be the chair. Brian, you want to elect the vice chair?
Let's have some nominations for the vice.
I nominate Randy Weldon.
Second that.
Can I decline?
Sure.
Thank you, Randy.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 They go.
Yeah.
Presentation of the budget.
All right. Thank you, and thank you all for showing up here at 10 a.m. to get in our budget. So I've got a little slideshow, and all of you were on the budget committee last year, so I think it'll you'll recognize the format of the budget. There's not much change in format except for the LB1, yeah. And LB2 is gone, and LB3 is gone. So there's some interesting things there, but the state consolidated those into one form, the renewed LB1, which is the first worksheet in your document. But we'll just get into it. So the process, you know, budget officer creates the budget. March to May was the window that we use this time. Your committee meeting starting today. If the committee believes they want additional meetings, we schedule additional meetings. But you're required to take public comment at one of those meetings. It's on the schedule for today, so we'll have an opportunity to take public comment. The budget committee reviews, makes changes, and recommends to the governing body. It does not set policy, though. That would be one thing to check at the door, I guess, if you would. Those policy decisions are based for the board. You know, this is a financial budget that you're working to. And you are required to, after you've deliberated, recommend. You know, that is part of the process. Whether it's one meeting, five meetings, what have you. Then once you make your recommendation, I revise the document accordingly and then publish to the newspaper and online our LB1, which is that one I'll talk about later. And then the governing body, the district board, has their budget hearing, which, again, the public is invited to provide input. And then the governing body reviews, makes changes as appropriate, and then adopts a budget. And then there's a few steps to getting that all to the folks in Salem. So just as a reminder, Devils Lake Water Improvement District, there's your mission statement, water quality, fish and environment for fish and wildlife, humans, recreational opportunities, safe, efficient navigation, the economy, to increase public awareness, public access and education. And
hey, Paul, I hate to interrupt you. We can't see that screen, and this monitor is
We don't know how to get the monitor.
And we can't.
I don't, Alex, do you know if that monitor also?
That one, I think, but let me.
Okay.
Now we know why you're on the budget committee, Alex.
Okay.
Good night.
Should just come up.
No.
Oh, well.
There you go. We're there.
You get it?
Yes. Thank you, Alex.
All right.
You can go home then.
Yeah, I was there.
So, yeah, so there's just a map of the of what the district looks like from a taxpayer perspective. It's pretty broad. It goes basically Niatsu to Cutler City. And we have two funding mechanisms in the district. We have the half rate, effectively, we call it, and then the full rate. And so people living inside the watershed pay the full rate. And those living outside the watershed but in the city of Lincoln City pay the effective half rate. Or the 1X and the 2X, depending on how you want to look at it. Because it's certainly half a rate. It's a full rate. It's just a lesser one. The district established its top five objectives. I should have brought those into a smaller or larger font and condensed them. But basically, we're working on these five. Develop and implement a strategy for aquatic vegetation management and control. Finish the septic tank revitalization program. Increased communications and time spent on the lake. We've completed part of those things, as you would have read in the full narrative. Determine the source of E. coli on Thompson Creek, and then determine methods we can help look at sewering the rest of the watershed. Other programs and activities the district has is involved in. It's pretty extensive, and some of these are higher focus. Some of them just get maybe a light brush over the course of the year, but certainly, and I've listed these just alphabetically by larger topic. Communications, we have water quality updates we do, we have our monthly meetings, quarterly e-newsletter, we have a radio, our own radio station at Regatta Grounds, monthly interviews on the KVCH radio. We have our website, which I think is a fundamental part of our communications. There's conferences and trainings that we seek to attend, emergency preparedness meeting that they attend on a bi-monthly basis. We have an internship program. I think this will be our sixth year of that. We're engaged in lake level management, including emergency dredging of the Dee River and the Dee River Dam and Recreational Water Right Administration. We have outreach programs. The big one, again, will be the Doubles Lake Revival, which is scheduled to be held August 4th. Erosion prevention, sediment control, that's one that we actually haven't held for the last few years. That's something we previously have held with the city jointly in September, October. The Solve Lakeside cleanup may be brought back in again this year. We'll see. And then just some other programs, Get the Lead Out, et cetera. The Lake Steward Award, which Don Sell, who wasn't able to attend today, was our Lake Steward Award, if you remember. Property and planning issues. So the district reviews of large-scale developments, site plan reviews for the natural resources overlay zones, wetland removal and fill applications within the watershed, and water right applications. We have a safety program. We have our SOS program, which seeks to provide assistance to home shoreline property owners and create watershed enhancements to help protect the shoreline. And then some, of course, signage throughout the watershed. This total maximum daily load, won't go into it too much. Hopefully people have been watching our meetings, kind of get an understanding for what that's looking like. And our water quality program, which is pretty extensive, starts in a few weeks here and runs through the summer. General fund. So this is a chart of the history of the general fund since 2000. Fiscal year 2000-2001, showing the resources collected, projected, and spent. In 2005-06, we began spending less money and were able to start transferring additional money into reserve. That would be what this lower line is representing here. And then overall, we've cut that back up now, and so we're spending probably on par as to what we're actually taking in overall. Oops, backwards. And as a result, our net assets have increased significantly. We were at about 300,000. Now we're about 550, and that's a result of transfers to reserve. And the darker part of this is our capital assets. So that's really the bump there is when we bought the truck, and then it's just depreciating at a slower rate. Long-range forecast, I assume we're going to have some steady funding. We have balanced, we have requirements through the state, Measure 5 and 50, that actually provide the district steady funding and growth opportunities. Even though you have depressed or property values over the last, 4 or 5 years now, the assessed values, they're still outcompete those real market values, or vice versa, I mean. So our real market values are still higher than what the assessed is. So we're still growing as a district. And then in the future, not too far off future, in 2014, 2015, Lincoln City urban renewal will sunset. And at that point, the district would have an infusion of $26,000 annually. So that's good news for the financial part of the district. For the general fund, we can expect level services, and then through the improvement fund, these are the variable things that we set to fund through that. And those projects include the vegetation management, the SOS, the CAFE, which talk about East Devils Lake Road, that's that acronym down there, East Devils Lake Road, and educational DVD. Okay, so this screen is too tight for you to look at, I think, but you have a copy of this. This is the LB1, so it'll be your first worksheet. And it's a lot to get even on a page, so I apologize for that, too, but that's about the smallest font, or the largest font I could get out of this. And what this notice does is something the state came up with, the legislature came up with, to try to make this process a little bit more transparent to the public. And so this is what will be printed in the newspaper. And you'll see you have underneath the financial summary resources total of all funds, and it has the beginning balances, which include the net working capital and the unappropriated ending fund balances. And then the next three columns, actual amounts from 2010-2011, those dollars that were adopted in the most recent and current budget, and then those that are proposed for in the third column. And it does say approved budget because this is the document that will get continually edited, and it's just cleaner if it just stays. I could change it. It's not adopted at that point, as you know. And then so you have under the second line, fees, licenses, those are not things that the district has. Federal funding, state funding, and other grants, and that helps to kind of help predict for folks, okay, how much money is coming outside of the district, how much is coming from within. So typically we have a very low amount of money. We have had a few state or federal grants and have budgeted for that in the last year and the current year. And then you have revenue from bonds or other debt. So actual amounts are zero. Last year we budgeted $400,000. This year we're also budgeting $400,000. Internal transfers, you have $36,130 from 2010-2011. We anticipated $32,000 this last year. Actually, I think it was more like $56,000, I think, we were actually able to transfer. And then the approved transfer. And other resources, including delinquent taxes, that would be the largest bit of that, as well as interest. Then the bottom line of that, the property taxes estimated to be received, that's the general fund's property base right there. And so you see that just growing between 3% and 5% a year. And then you step down to the next box, financial summary, personal services, and these are then both the improvement fund and the general fund, which is kind of the way of all these districts are being looked at, so that you kind of get these combined versus having multiple funds that are kind of hard to determine fully where the resources are going. So you have personal services, material and services, capital outlay, debt service, the inter-fund transfers, contingencies, and special payments, which is like additional monies left in reserve. And then the last one, the unappropriate ending fund balance, monies held in reserve for the following year. And then down below that, the financial summary requirements by organizational unit or program are the two funds that we have, and the monies just by fund, and the full-time equivalent employee amounts per fund, as you'll see there, one and one respectively. And then those are summed, and then you have your total FTEs for the district. And that's pretty much it. You just go down, you just see a kind of a statement of activities and sources of financing, what the property tax levies are for the district, are available for the district, and a statement of indebtedness. And currently we are not in debt, and it's put here that there's an expected $400,000 debt incurrent, which although is was in the, you know, was authorized last year, it's not something that the district board actually incurred. So that's what that screen looks like, and in a nutshell.
Well, Paul, while we're on LB1, what's the point of the $400,000 entry for revenue from bonds and other debt under resources?
That would be if the district were to engage in like a purchase for or some sort of improvement for the cafe, the Center for Aquatic Freshwater Ecology.
Why is it listed as revenue?
Because the loan becomes a revenue into one of the funds, and then you have a debt service in another fund.
All right.
Balances.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Question, Paul. Under personal services, the $124,880, is how many employees does that cover? Is that more than one, or is that our load for you as the manager?
$124,000 is two.
It's two, so that's you and Seth?
Correct.
Okay. About how does that break down?
Actually, it's outlaid in by fund. So if we look at, and I can just pull the numbers out for you.
Just in general, I mean, is it 60-40 or?
It's about 60-40,
okay.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know exactly the 60, if it's 65-35, or, but it's probably 60-40-ish. The numbers actually, trying to read here, 48,880 proposed versus 76.
That includes salary.
That includes salary and benefits and payroll taxes and that sort of thing, too.
Okay.
Yeah. All the costs associated with employment.
And that doesn't include the intern, then, that's being proposed?
The intern, did you say?
Yeah.
Correct. That actually we fund as a it fit most readily when we had a need to in consulting. Because we actually pay that person externally. We use a contracting service to pay them, so it effectively is a contract that we're paying, and we have $10,000 associated with that, and that would add to the total. If it was to be included as an FTE, it would add about a quarter because it's a summertime.
Okay. Two other questions before we get too far. In looking at the budget message, you had a note in here that the charter was part of the budget on page 3, and I couldn't find the original charter on page 3. I may just be missing it.
the charter.
You have a note on page on page 15. It says the original charter, right in the very center of the page, the original charter of the Devil's Lake Water Improvement District, as shown on page 3 of this budget. The middle paragraph, middle of the paragraph.
Okay. See, we were referencing that. And so it should probably say mission statement and refer to page 4, I guess, on that. So this document does not include the full original charter, that we can correct that.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would propose that if we're going to have a mission statement in there, that we should also include the charter, unless the charter's been changed so it no longer applies, because I think it's really relevant to where we're spending the money, why we're spending the money, where we're spending the money in the budget. And since it did say charter, and there is a charter, and the charter's available.
It's Articles of Incorporation, I think, would be the full thing. And it is available on our website.
I couldn't find it there either. So
it's part of the policy section. If you look at the policy, it's the first 10 pages or so of that document.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay, so the general fund, total of $352,832 is proposed, and you see that broken up into a large section of that is the current taxes, 54%, the unappropriated ending fund balance, 28%, so that's money carried over from this current year into the next current year, the subsequent year. The networking capital, $56,000, so that's actual monies that we can anticipate transferring, and we'll look at how that lays out. And then some delinquent taxes, and those are broken up additionally for you. The font wasn't really going to let me squeeze that all in there, but if you look at page 11 of your document, table 1, it shows you all of the bits of the networking capital, so of that $56,000, how that's calculated. It shows you previous levied taxes estimate, so that's your delinquent taxes, some interest, the unappropriated ending fund balances, and then just two kind of placeholders for grants and donations, for a total set of resources of the $352,832. The requirements of the district for the general fund, and this is just a requirement, they match what you have. And so how we have set this up is I think you call them the big five. You got your material and services, your general personal services, contingency, transfers, unappropriated ending fund balance, and debt service, and capital outlay. Most of the monies are actually going to be saved. If you look at this, you have this $100,000 of this $352,000 that goes for 2013-2014. And then you have this larger transfer of $56,000 to the improvement fund, which will be available for appropriation, but it's moving it out of this general fund. So really, when we look at the operating budget within the general fund, it's really looking at this half and a little bit more of the pie, this section in here. And so what we're spending those dollars on are material and services, small bit of contingency, personnel services, and debt service. Now, the general fund, we have another breakdown of the material and services because it's a little bit more complex. And so we have a worksheet. It's called the LB31. And I actually gave you an addendum in your that piece of paper in front of you is what do you call it, errata, I guess is the term, where you have an error that you've caught and you add the sheet back in. So that provides a column that was missing, that first preceding year column, from the document that was published online. So this then is broken up by these subcategories within that are all material and services, but they cover things like accounting, consulting, and that gets to that internship that dollars that you were asking about earlier. And then elections, equipment, erosion, sediment, insurance and bonds, lake level management, legal fund, monitoring, nutrient control, office operations, public relations, training, transportation, and vegetation management. Those are all then further broken down in a detailed general fund, what do I call it here? The detailed budget overview for the general fund, which is your first section in the appendix. So if you really want to look at some of the very fine, fine detail of all of these dollars that we seek to budget, and the way I found it easiest for me is to start with the detail, and then we can get up to the level of appropriation, and so we can secure for ourselves the fact that, well, we want to keep a NewsGuard subscription. Well, that's going to cost us X dollars. You know, that level of detail, that sort of thing. So that's there for you. Within the Material and Services General Fund, accounting, consulting, elections. Elections is the first one that might look a little different to you. We used to, and this would be a change for this year, we used to budget half or the full amount of the cost of an election in the year that the election happened. Well, what that does is it makes us budget $1,700 one year and then zero the next year because we have elections on every other cycle. So what I'm proposing is that we budget half of that each year so that we have the general line item of what we need, and then we're not like, oh, we have this extra money, oh, but it's going to get used next year. Let's simplify that. We'll budget in two sections, 2 years, and then to pay that off, we just simply write them two checks. We just write one on June 30th and one on July 1st. They're in separate budget years, but the county gets their money. And I just think it makes it simpler for us to manage that component. Equipment, that's really boat storage, things like that. Sediment and erosion control, there's really not much change there. Insurance and bonds, not much change there. Lake level management, again, not much change. Legal, same. Monitoring, similar. Maybe I think we do have a bump there from funds that are anticipated to cover the harmful algal bloom surveillance program enhancements that we are seeking to do. And then down the line, pretty much on par from the previous years. So that finishes the general fund. So we have, you know, material and services, personnel services, et cetera, capital outlay, debt service. And then we have our separate fund, the improvement fund, which actually has $760,000 plus potentially in it. But as you know, our resources actually aren't that much. But if we do get a loan, then we get this $400,000 influx, which we have to budget for to actually bring that money in. So what I've done here is I've got loans not active, and that says $400,000. So that's a loan that hasn't been applied for, hasn't been pursued. But if the district does, the money's would be able to come into this fund through this budgetary process.
Mr. Chairman, are we going to make proposed changes to this as we go through by section? Or are we going to do this at the end? Because we're kind of working through a lot of this really quick.
Yeah, I was thinking that we would do at the end. Budget committee recommendation. Yeah, I don't think you want to do it before we have an opportunity for public comment.
Okay.
Okay, so then basically half of this money, $760,000, half of that $400,000, more than half, is actually not actually here. it could be here, and that's why we provide the opportunity for it within the budget for those monies to come in. The larger money then is the existing reserve, some $300,000, and a transfer in, which you saw in the general fund, of some nearly $57,000. So that's the funding resources available in the improvement fund, or potentially at least, of which those monies would be potentially spent, half of it, that $400,000 property acquisition, so that's where that larger half of the pie shows up. But then what's actually in the system right now is this right half of the pie chart, and it shows it bank fees, boat, motor, very large or very small. A reservation of future expenditures of 14%, but of in actual dollars, it's like 28%. So if you think of this pie as being of making a full circle out of just this half the pie, this is more or less is 20. You can almost double it. It's not quite. And then the same thing with vegetation management control, watershed protection, personnel services, scientific equipment, and transportation. And then down here, we actually label it as grass carp. And this, and we'll look at this more closely because of the way this is set up versus how some of these material and services and capital outlay overlap and are intertwined. And here's the first example. Vegetation management, we have budgeted $25,000 for an aquatic vegetation survey and mapping, a grass carp study, which we're under contract for, a model, a Bayesian neural network model for $3,500, which we've solicited, and then a topographic survey, an economic study, and these are carryovers from last year. And then this larger $100,000 for actual fish. And so that item is a capital outlay. Might not seem like a capital outlay for in some regards, but it is. And so this becomes kind of a project-based way of evaluating this, and these are broken up, and that's how I tried to represent it in the narrative to you. And then you have your SOS program. So you have and there's just some photos of some work that has gone on, local landowners here, Regatta Grounds, East Devils Lake State Park, and then the native plant garden that we're collaborating with at the high school now, which will help save the district money and provide some additional resources. And then you have this idea of the cafe. So you have this $400,000 of loan money that could be acquired to create this Center for Aquatic Freshwater Ecology that we've discussed in the past and is in the document in detail. And then just a very brief slide here on the idea of East Devils Lake Road. And just by way of introducing this topic, most people know that road floods all the time. And some of you live on the backside of the lake, I know, and you're intimately connected to that road. There is interest by this county as well. Let's back up. The county has gotten a paid for or somehow able to, through a grant, I'm not sure how they got funding for it, to do an assessment of that road, of fixes for the road. And they've got a range of fixes, and I think it starts at $7 million and it goes to $30 million. It's not something that the county's going to have money for. It's not something the district's going to have money for at that level. But what is proposed, and the county is what's driving this, is for them to partner with the Salmon Drift Creek Watershed Council to create a stakeholder group that can look at funding resources available to them. They may be fish and wildlife funds. They may be emergency services funds. Other pots of money that wouldn't necessarily have an alliance to try to generate one, and for the ultimate goal of fixing what is this roadway that bisects the wetland and is sinking into the wetland and becomes, well, as this photo obviously documents, a serious migration in impact to threatened coho species, salmon. And then just a safety issue for people driving through that, emergency access, escape routes, et cetera. So that's what that $5,000 represents, is a contribution to a stakeholder group that would be led by the San Andreas Creek Watershed Council in partnership with the Lincoln County. And I did send everyone a document on that. I believe you would have all received that as a request for those funds. And then lastly, I think educational DVD. And so actually at our meeting last night, the district appropriated some of these monies that's in the current budget already to create an educational DVD. This would be monies that from that original $5,000 pie estimate from this current budget estimate of what would then potentially still be available. Okay, so some of those things overlapped, not many of them, because the capital outlay would have been the major one. But what we also have brought into this are other things, and I don't think I added them to the slide specifically, but I think the most important one to look at is the personnel services. So you've got a staff person that's working within all these programs and some programs in the general fund, but we fund that staff position out of the improvement fund because the reason we've done that is because it's really is just a temporary position, and it's been extended by choices of the board. And so this budget allows for that opportunity to exist in the future as well. The capital outlay, we've got the 522. So you've got $100,000 worth of fish, $400,000 cafe, and then there's just some additional monies set aside for boat maintenance or boat repair, larger boat fund, as well as transportation for the vehicle. No debt service in the improvement fund, and then an additional nearly $4,000 in reserve. And I think that pretty much wraps up what I wanted to present to you as an introduction. Unless there's some questions and some detail, but now would be, I think, the time to move.
Got questions going. All right, that's a lot to absorb. Let's take a short break, and then we'll let item four questions and comments from the budget committee. We're taking a short break because I need one. I think we've got everybody here, so why don't we resume? Any questions or comments from the members of the committee on the budget officer's presentation or the budget itself as proposed?
I noticed a number of places we're now referring in this budget message to the fish control structure as a dam, and I've never understood when that became a dam, and yet it's part of a budget message. And I don't like policy being set as a part of a proposed budget, but unless there's been some official action to make that fish control structure, which is what it was put in as, which is what justifies its existence there, which we've used to justify its existence, to now call it a dam, I'm concerned that using the word dam has other implications.
It does have other implications, and it has essentially morphed from a fish control structure into a dam. And, Paul, why don't you explain how that occurred?
Sure. So in 1986, the fish control structure was put in for the grass carp. And it was a fence, right? It was basically a metal fence. It allowed water to go out and large fish, like carp, to not go out. And so that was the objective. In 1991, the district began the process of applying for an impoundment right on the Dee River, Devil's Lake, 1996 that was approved. In 1997-1998, that fish control structure had been, at that point, by then modified to become a dam. And so it's basically been a dam since 97-98.
Are there different state requirements? In other words, if we applied right now to put a dam on the Dee River, I imagine there would be a different set of hoops to jump through than if we had a modified fish control structure. And what I'm understanding is that we have a modified fish control structure that is a pre-existing structure that has been there for a number of years. Whether it's damming water or not damming water, it's a fish control structure that has been modified, that has been allowed to be modified, and that
It
might serve the purpose of damming up some water, but to call it a dam...
Well, in fact, it is only a dam, then, and not... Well, it does control fish, but it doesn't do it like it used to, because as part of this process, and I don't have the year, but it was about 96. ODFNW ruled that the district did not need the fish control structure anymore, because they rightfully decided that the grass carp, which was what was meant to control, if they left the system, they would perish in the saltwater. And so the original idea of having it there was to keep the grass carp from migrating into other watersheds. And so by virtue of that condition being released, the actual metal fence, which had been recently destroyed by large storm events, and it happened in previous years too, and I think Noel and Brian would have a better recollection of that than I would, certainly. But that device, that fence, metal fence, has been abolished, and has been since about that time.
Well, I understand that, but when we were allowed to put in the existing structure that's there, was it an application to put in a dam? Was it a modification of a fish control structure? Or what authorizes that to exist there today?
Originally, no, it was not put in to be a dam. It was to be a fish control structure. What authorized it to be today was that water right that was officially received in 1996.
And at that point, did we make application for a dam? I guess I'm looking for the terminology, because what I'm afraid of is that we call it a dam, and now we run into a whole different set of circumstances, and I've watched a number of meetings. While it gets referred to as times as a dam, it also gets referred to as the fish control structure, and we start making it part of a public document that's published online. It morphs into the word dam, and it starts getting referred to as a dam, and it becomes a dam, and then we start jumping through the hoops for having a dam.
Yeah, I think it's most appropriately called a dam, and that's been what we've been mostly referring to that as. It was the fish control structure. That's the device that was built upon, modified, and it's a dam. It functions like a dam. It impounds water like a dam. It doesn't serve the purpose of fish control as it were. Carp actually can leave the system through it. I mean, the hole that is in the dam is about 8 inches wide and about 18 inches tall, and you see the fish every once in a while. They actually go through it and head downstream. The ones that don't return, which actually is it's not easy going up through there, and that's why it's actually a fish impediment. Coming upstream is because that velocity of water going through that actually is very difficult for a fish to swim through when you have a whole lake behind it and it's going being forced through a small area. I've seen the carp work and find their way back through that. So, but it doesn't work as a fish control structure anymore. It is a dam.
Yeah, and Jim, I'm probably one of the ones that's is at fault for using the old terminology just out of habit. But it's not a fish control structure anymore. It's a dam. Its function is to artificially increase the lake level above what it would naturally be, and it's been used for that purpose for over 10 years.
Okay.
But I'd like to comment that, but I like your general concept that the budget is not a policy making tool, but rather a process by which we try to keep as many of our funding options open as possible based on the future possibilities that we see. And that's all that we're doing.
So then my follow-up question would be, not being real familiar with how government works, but becoming more familiar, is that I would anticipate as a citizen seeing the board make recommendations to the budget officer, to Paul, saying these are items that we would like to see you include in the budget that's presented to the committee for an approval. And when I see $400,000 for a possible purchase or $400,000 representing a bond that might be asked for that hasn't been at the request of the board, or something that the board, you know, said we want to make sure we have a placeholder there, it feels like the budget committee is approving something to be put in there as a placeholder that hasn't been in an item that's been identified as the board's desired.
It's been discussed as a possibility, something that we investigated, and it is a future possibility. Whether that possibility is a 1% possibility or a 75% probability is a whole other question. It's probably closer to the 1%, but the budget, it's budgeted for in case we proceed far enough that we actually decide to make that acquisition.
Okay, so along those lines, are there other 1% items that aren't included in here or that are included in here that have a 1% possibility of the board?
Well, okay,
feels like a pretty...
Don't stick me with
1%. Well, not 1%, but the general concepts there. I guess I'm looking at, you know, I watch the meetings. I try to keep my ear to the ground to get the general consensus of the public, and I always look for what drives, you know, a budget, and I would expect that a budget's driven by, as this is indicated, the, it was called the charter, but it's the direction that the board is going, and yet I'm not seeing this necessarily as a direction or something that the board said, you know, we want to pursue this over the next year. In fact, in the budget message, it says, you know, this isn't something that the board has discussed or, you know, placed on the priority list, and yet, as the budget committee, we're being asked to put, you know, that item in there. And it just seems like a process that would work better if the board, you gave direction before the budget came out and said, you know, these are the items that we want to make sure are included in there so that we have the option to spend the money, and the budget committee can say, yeah, based on the board's recommendation, we're doing this. But right now, I don't know why that money is being placed in there, or why a consideration for an indebtedness of $400,000 is being placed in there, or what the basis for that number versus $200,000 or $800,000 is in there, because I'm not hearing that it's been an active discussion, or I've observed that it's an active discussion. It seems like it's just placed in there as an amount of money.
Yeah, my only point of disagreement would be that I don't think it needs to rise to the level of a recommendation from the board that we want to spend the money before we include it in the budget, but rather, like you're referring to, a placeholder for something that we have investigated. I mean, two of us have met on more than one occasion with the college president about the possibilities of purchase. The $400,000 number derives from what we think that it may be able to be purchased for or less, and also probably some idea of a maximum of what we'd be willing to pay. Based upon, you know, what we'd like to see is, if it could happen at all, it would happen on the basis that it might even pay for itself. We might sublet space so that it would be the district offices. We'd save rent.
There would be the possibility of subletting other space, possibly generating revenue from it. There's just a lot of possibilities out there. And so it seems, I mean, and as I say, I think the budget process is partly to create placeholders for things like that. We have invested some energy. We may invest some more energy. And we don't want to have to go through a supplemental budget process if we decide to actually make a move toward acquisition of the property.
So by that process, then, would any two board members, just by the example you've given, who decide to invest some time in looking at a concept or an idea, whatever that might be able to ask the director of the district, you know, Paul in this case, to include money in a budget that would then come to this budget hearing and would be asked to rule on based on a, you know, I'm just uncomfortable with, once again, beginning to drive policy by approving something that hasn't been, you know, discussed as a...
Chair? Yeah. I'm sorry. This isn't a new line item. I seem to remember this on last year's budget as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I seem to remember, actually, the meetings that I attended, I don't remember seeing you at them, and this is maybe why you don't remember this, but the cafe was a discussion quite a bit before last year's budget and then afterwards as well. What I understand, you know, just like any big project, it's, you know, it's gone through different phases. Am I correct? It's you know, that you guys have been trying to, you know, figure out, you know, maybe different directions it can go. I think, if I remember right, a previous director here, was it Joe Barnes, was really active in putting that together. But I mean, there was, I mean, this isn't a new one. A couple of people,
right,
didn't, you know, talk about this over lunch and then throw it on the
budget. Actually, we've had a lot of public discussion.
Yeah. I understand.
My first meeting here was all about the,
yeah,
the cafe program.
But I remember this. I remember this from last year. I think we may have had a similar discussion, you and I, Jim, last year at the budget committee. But yeah, I think that this has been around for a while.
Well, it's just that it's not. I mean, I would say that to Mr. Hoover, it doesn't, the adoption of this budget with that line item isn't. Doesn't amount to a statement of policy from the budget committee that the district is going to go forward with that acquisition. But there's enough positiveness to it, enough potentially beneficial characteristics that we don't want to completely ignore the possibility either. So you budget to maintain the option of being able to go forward financially if we choose to do so.
I guess really the question I'm asking is the chicken and egg, you know, question. You know, does the budget committee, lacking it being a priority of the board, place money in a budget that then says the budget committee placed money in the budget so the board has the opportunity to do it, or is the budget committee say the board has indicated a desire to do this and we want to make sure that we put money in the budget so that the board has the resources to enact the policies or the projects that are there? And I'm not sure that, based on what I've read, that there's a clear indication to me that this is being driven by either the board or by the budget committee, or where it's being driven, and it's just kind of money that's being put there without there being a specific reason. Hence, does the chicken come first or the egg come first?
And I
would be looking for something. I would hope that there would be something for me personally, right or wrong, that said, you know, this is an item that the board has been discussing, the board wants to implement over the next year, the board's pursuing, and therefore, you know, $400,000 is the amount of money that, you know, would serve to meet the desires of the board. And that gives me something that I can then say, you know, there's a board that's elected, you know, they're charged with spending this money. I want to make sure they have the resources, because the resources fit into the budget that is proposed based on the spending and the income. And I can make that decision, but I'm not seeing any reason given in the budget message for the general public that that money would be included, or that there would be a capital bond proposed, because I'm just not seeing that direction or hearing that direction has come from the last 6 months or 8 months of meetings of the board, and not just, well, we've included it every year for the last 4 years, so we're going to include it again. And what I'm afraid happens is that then gets said, well, the budget committee has included this so the board can make the decision, and I don't want to be the one that's including it for the board to make a decision later on, unless the board really wants to do it right now.
Okay, fair enough. It's just that it's not we're not putting any money in. We don't have the money. It's a placeholder for money that we would borrow in the future in case we wanted to go forward with it.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Would it make you feel more comfortable if there was something in the budget message, if Paul added a small paragraph? From the sound of it, maybe it's lost. The project has lost a little steam, as sometimes they do. But again, from what I understand, it's still being actively discussed, and that may be why it's missing on the budget, because it's not. You know, I mean, there's some room filling issues that are going on right now, and that might not be on the forefront of the budget officer's mind. Would that make you more comfortable if it was? Is that what you're after?
I guess I'm looking for a request going forward that, you know, that there's a basis based on a board decision or a board action or a board desire or a board goal, something that would make it reasonable to say, as a member of this committee, you know, I think it's important to put the money in there to fulfill that desire or request. And what I'm seeing is kind of the opposite wording in there, that while this isn't something that's being pursued, and I'm paraphrasing here, by the board at the present time, you know, we've included this money in there, and when I see it characterized as this isn't something that's being pursued by the board as a priority, or, and I'm not sure how that wording was, but that was the gist I took away as I read it, you know, this last week. It, for me, makes it difficult to put that money in there, because what else is there that the board might be thinking about but not discussing that we should put money in for also?
Mr. Chair,
let me follow. I think it's be much more, let me put it this way, be much more of a policy statement that I don't think this committee should be making for the district to not include the placeholder, because then you're basically you're telling the district, you know, we've made the decision not to fund it, and you know that's what I think would be less appropriate than including it as a placeholder in case this idea moves forward. Mr. Park.
Chairman.
Any further comment on this point?
So a separate question, similar subject, and we may be coming to these later on. I just heard it as part of this, part of the overview. There was a $5,000 amount for a proposed grant request from the Salmon Drift Creek Water Council. Is that the right word?
Council, right?
Yeah. And once again, you know, sitting on here, I'm wondering if that's an item that's actually been discussed by the board. Is something that has been discussed, why it's $5,000 and not $3,000 or $10,000, and to vote on $5,000 as a placeholder on something that doesn't sound like it's been discussed by the board, because it wasn't presented as, you know, this was presented to the board and it's been indicated this is a direction they want to go, therefore we're putting $5,000 in here. This is just a request that's been made. Begins to feel like the committee, the budget committee, is setting a policy by putting money in there that the board can use when the board hasn't discussed it yet. And I'm just really leery of overstepping the bounds of this committee and then later having it be indicated as the money was placed there by the committee so that, and I'll place it there as long as I know that it's an indication or a direction or amount that the board would like placed there, and they're asking the committee to make that decision or not make that decision.
Mr. Chair? This is a chicken and egg kind of question often, and going back to the cafe first off, that idea is in the Devil's Lake plan. So that's a document adopted by the Devil's Lake Water Improvement District Board. So that the idea of that being moving forward has already been adopted as a possibility for the district. So that one, that chicken and egg, whichever one it becomes, kind of has been identified. This one, as you're noting, is new. And the difficulty from a budget officer perspective is to get enough information without getting directly told what to do, and to still be able to be a budget officer for the district, to then provide a offering to the budget committee for review. And some things come in May, first, May, end of May, or end of April. Other things come in 2 or 3 years prior. This one is of the more of the former. And so when the budget officer looks at the district and makes an offering, it does so with the historic knowledge as well as the most current knowledge that it has of the district, and provides that as a proposal. And so in that chicken and egg scenario, some of these things may become, in a sense, some sort of direction that's of creating an availability that the budget, the board may not have fully vetted yet, but that's incumbent in the process, because the budget is just a scoping for the upcoming year, and you can only guess as close as you can guess. And so that's the other thing is these numbers that eventually get appropriated don't necessarily get spent unless the board decides to. So there's all those little bumps in the road that it has to go through. If this project or any other project were to come forward in May or April and not get included in the upcoming year, well, then it would have to either fit in as a contingency of some sort if it were to be moved forward, or have some other transfer, or if there wasn't enough money to transfer, it would have to be a supplemental budget, which is timely and time-intensive and consuming to the district to do those processes. So as a budget officer, it's my duty to provide as best picture as I see forward, and uniquely in that position as the lake manager as well. Whereas a lot of budget officers, maybe they're just working in the finance section of a municipality of sort, maybe not as intimately tied to other overall actions. It's one and the same, just changing the hat. So as far as seeing the direction of the district and an opportunity that would be brought forward, I've been able to be that person to do the same, if that makes sense. So it's, I understand what you're saying. In answer to the first part, again, the Devil's Lake plan identifies the Center for Aquatic Freshwater Ecology. It was identified in the last budget. The reason I think you see this really passive language in this document is intentional, because maybe it's the wrong way to approach it, because it kind of sent, it's a lot of backpedaling. Well, we got this idea, we might want to borrow some money, but, you know, we don't want to, and the reason I've presented it this way is because I don't want this committee to think that this is something stamped out, and because there still has to be these processes to go forward, that it's not presented in a way that allows that to happen. And so it's more of a passive approach to it's actually for to ease the pain, I guess, of suggesting a $400,000 infusion into the district and a $30,000 a year defusion or whatever the export of that to pay for those funds might be. So it's that kind of larger issue.
I appreciate the explanation. There's only two parts. One is I want to make sure, as a member of the budget committee, that I don't tie the hands or tie the wrists together of the board. I want them to have access to the money to make the decisions that are necessary to keep the lake a resource for everybody in the community. Number two, I'm still looking for a mechanism that I can use as somebody who votes, might just be one vote, that says I think this is the best use of this money or this is where it needs to be appropriated in this balanced budget. And number three, I just want to make sure, and I guess that's why I'm putting on the record, that a year from now or 3 years from now, the comment isn't made. You know, for several years, the budget committee has included as part of its budget $400,000 for a cafe as an indication that this is a high priority, because I'm not given information that statement would be based on. I'm just simply being asked to make sure there's a balanced budget that allows the board to make decisions. And as long as it doesn't get represented in the future as it's been included in the budget, which is what this committee does, for a number of years, and I think Alex made reference to that a second ago where he said, you know, it's been included in the budget for the last two or three years. Well, for the last two or three years, you know, the same process could have happened, and that statement would be a true statement without there being a consensus on the board or a vote of the board that actually would have passed that said we want to pursue this or follow it, just because the committee had it presented and the committee included it in there. And that, to me, feels like setting policy, and I'd rather be responding to a board decision and saying, how can I balance these funds to make sure that everything is represented so the board has the latitude? And as long as that's been stated enough, I can let that one go. But I just, there was a number of times that it popped up for me where I said, does this budget document drive policy, or does this budget document simply give an explanation of why this committee should vote for or vote against, or have an understanding of why they're voting for what they're voting for, that the decisions won't be based on this budget, the decisions will be based on the board. Thank you.
Further a comment or discussion by the board members?
Mr. Chair, I see that we have another opportunity for committee discussion. Looks like we've got questions and comments from public or from budget committee, and then public comment, and then committee discussion. Did you have something in mind, or whomever drafted the agenda for it? Was there a difference? I mean, were we supposed to be talking about in committee discussion about maybe our public comment?
I thought that this is just an opportunity to actually question the budget officer about his presentation. So
okay.
Which I'm not sure how to distinguish that from committee discussion,
sure,
and budget committee recommendation, but why don't we just, we'll have time to discuss. Let's move on to public comment.
Great.
Do we have any members of the public who would like to comment? We have enough sheet. We have Mr. Mitchell Moore, who is hopefully approaching the podium. I'll be the play-by-play announcer, too.
Well, I'm sure you were thrilled when you saw me walk in the door. But I just have a couple comments, actually, in general, just sort of overall consideration. You know, last night, 200-plus people tried to communicate to you. There's many less here today. And I'm not surprised by that, because, you know, people have jobs they had to get back to. Many came in from the valley. Many came here last night. But today they're working, and it's hard to come out and participate in these things. So But I'm here, at least. Don't take the attendance today to think that the public doesn't care about this. They do. They care very much about what you're doing, and people show up, and they do try and keep an eye on it. So hopefully, and there's a lot that the district does that I think people support and that's in this budget. I just want you to consider in this budget that the decisions that you might make in June at the next meeting may have a large impact on the expenditures of this district. I mean, without the dam, and it's not, or the fish control structure, it isn't the only thing that the district does, but it's a major component of what the district does. It's a big piece of managing that. The water level and so forth of what drives the time use here and the expenditures of the district. There will be no need for a contractor. You probably could roll back. I'm not recommending this, but certainly it will be discussed, I'm sure, at meetings in the future, rolling the staff back to the single part-time person where it was for years until actually Paul came on, and he's done a lot of good things, but certainly one could go back to that. You know, we have a cyanobacteria program, the monitoring program that's unique to the state of Oregon. It's not done on any other lake in the whole state yet. Every lake in the state is posted when required. It's monitored until it can be unposted, and it's all done by the state of Oregon. And there's no need for a water district in any other state in the state of Oregon. So you might really not need a lot of these expenditures. The SOS program probably be unnecessary because the water is going to be a mile from anybody's house anyway. So, but actually, I think the bigger factor is I don't think you're going to have a lot of homeowners very interested in the program because they're going to be pretty upset for a number of years if that lake level goes down. So it might be better to call it the SLB program, the Save Our Beaches program. The septic program hasn't gone anywhere for a number of years. There's so much going on here in the city with water and annexation that I, you know, don't know if they're going to really, really honestly take that on. I think it'll be years. So there's nothing really lost there to put that away. So it's entirely possible that your budget, really, operating budget, doesn't need to be a whole lot more than $20,000-$30,000 to have somebody create the budget, and maybe $20,000-$30,000 for somebody to kind of run the board meetings because you need to have that going. And every now and then, $30,000 seems to be the going price for a study. So it very well may change your decision, what you need to do in this budget. So just something to think about. The other comment I wanted to make was on the reserve fund, which in some ways is sort of a nest egg that was supposed to be out there for some of the big projects and so forth, but it's appearing to be a little bit less of a nest egg these days. I mean, we do have the vegetation management program. That's a valid program, and there's some expenditures there, but it's getting kind of nibbled away with SOS and the cafe, and you know, there's $522,000 worth of projects in there that pull out of that reserve. So it doesn't sound a lot reserve to me. You might just, I guess, consider what is the gating factor on that reserve account. I mean, where's the decision to be made? There's been quite a bit of discussion just in the last few moments over that. Is the reserve a reserve or not? I understand it may be suggested that the reserve be made a restricted reserve where there's some gating function that's a little bit higher mark than just this budget hearing where it seems that discussions about should the cafe be in or out don't go too far. I've had, when I was on the budget committee, I had the same conversation. It's what, you know, we put this in, it's like it's being approved. You know, I didn't see any reason at all why a large project like that, huge expenditure, couldn't go in for a supplemental budget if it needed to be. Or as many years as it's been in there, you know, and I'm not saying yay or nay on CAFE, it's just the process. And so those reserve funds, though, don't seem to be too reserved anymore. So I'd ask you guys to have a discussion about that. What does the reserve fund actually mean? And I don't, you know, obviously this group can't necessarily make that decision, but they can forward to the board to have a conversation about that. Should it be a certain process that's in place that the board must go through to have these projects be pulled out of the reserve fund that is, you know, whatever, two public hearings, this and that. We seem to be doing that these days. Should it be a voter approval of this restricted reserve fund? It's not uncommon for corporations and public bodies to have a restricted reserve fund. It's just kind of a special gate that says we don't pull money out of this except to do sort of an extra check. Is it being used for, you know, the purposes that we designated it for? Because it is designated for a purpose at this time. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say today. It's just food for thought on the budget process. I really don't want to attack anything in the budget as yay or nay. You know, everything the district does do a lot of good things. I support most everything the budget does. I mean, the district does. It's supported by this budget. There are a few hot buttons here. I think somebody said the hornet's nest has been whacked a little bit last night. That's probably true. Your hearing for this is at the June meeting, so you may get more public comments during that time. So that's all I have to say. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. I don't think we have any further public comment. There's no other member of the public in the room. All right, committee discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Alex?
This may be, and stop me if this is a discussion that's more appropriate for just a regular board meeting, me wandering up to the podium there. I was having some discussions with some of the other board members, and it seems as though we're kind of in the process as a city. At least what I've noticed is that the city is turning more of its attention to the lake. The election of Mr. Ward over there, I think that he ran on a platform of bringing more attention to the lake, and I've seen more of it too. And I won't list, you know, some private individuals that are looking to kind of capitalize on the D River and the mouth of the lake. The picture of the I guess the so-called yacht club at the mouth of the lake has been coming up, and I think that's a great thing. I feel like the lake is is obviously a not only citywide but district-wide resource. I certainly appreciate the fact that lake owners carry more of a tax burden, but certainly is something that not living on the lake, that's something that of course I'm a district a member as well. And in that vein, I have a couple of suggestions, or maybe just discussion. And again, this may be something that's more appropriate for a general meeting, which I'd be happy to come back for. But we were discussing the possibility of creating funds available for the dredging of the mouth of the lake where it meets the river, and creating more of a waterway there. And again, maybe this isn't appropriate to be talking about now, but and then also I'm member of several kind of, I guess, what are they, civic groups, you know, like Rotary and Kiwanis. And I see, when I'm there, I see other government bodies having a presence there. One of the things that I feel like is missing from the lake board is that nobody, and this is a great step having it here, you know, this is a district that is inclusive of the whole city, and I don't see board members anywhere, you know, and this is something that I think that I don't blame anybody. I don't think that it's like a really, you know, terrible thing, but I just think that it's kind of been a culture that the lake is for lake owners. And while I appreciate that, I think that the whole city, benefits from it, and I think that it's absolutely a resource, not only just for city members, but also from a tourism perspective. And this is something that in some of the other committees and boards that I've been participating in has been coming up more, is that, the beach, isn't the only thing that we have to sell to the valley, and it's the lake is this incredible asset, and it's, as you guys know, you guys, most of you here today have purchased homes there, and more and more light has been shed on the lake. It's just I think it's becoming more of the public has been more aware of it. And to that end, I'd also love to see funds made available for memberships to Kiwanis or Rotary. You know, we have representatives two from city government that participate in I think both of those organizations. The city makes membership fees available, and you know, I think it would be good. I know that Paul has gone to Rotary a couple of times and spoken about the lake, and you know, I think that engaging the public more is a good thing. I'll stop talking now.
Well, no, thank you, Alex. I mean, those are great comments. You did certainly the you mentioned the D word, dredging, which is a that's definitely a budget dredging consideration, because it also means dollars. it's a big money item. So, again, we're back to the flexibility issue that we hope the budget process builds in, or is built into the budget process and the budget that we come out of the budget process with. And that's how I've, and certainly, dredging is something that's always kind of on the back burner. We just get looking at it, and you know, the expense is always huge.
Sure. I have no idea. I mean, that was me shooting from the hip a little bit, you know. And so, what is the? Is there a range for the expense on that?
So,
well, it depends on what you're dredging.
So, if you're talking about the, you know, down by Holster Park, you know, I think last I remember discussion wise, it was $50,000 or $60,000. Problem is it's an ongoing maintenance thing. It's something that, you know, in the winter, more sand is going to get deposited there all the time.
Sure.
Right. So it becomes then a question of whether it's a ongoing, you know, yearly maintenance fee or every 2 year maintenance fee that the district hasn't, you know, at least while I've been on the board, we haven't expressed any desire to actually take that on as an annual, you know, point of maintenance at the lake. At this point in time, we haven't had those discussions. I mean, I don't know that that's off the table in terms of a pre-budgeted chicken and egg line item. I don't want to set policy either, but I'm just saying that if it's something that we want to put in, I guess there's room for discussion around it, unless Paul would indicate that there is allocation in here, because I think we have the ability to transfer funds into the maintenance fund or whatever where our contractor is to do that. Isn't that what we looked at before?
Yeah. So within an individual fund, you can move monies between those appropriations very readily in order to make changes that are exceeding 15% from in between funds. You would have to have a supplemental budget. That's how I understand it. And I think you're right. It was about $50,000-$60,000 estimate to do just that. You know, that very near region parcel, basically in front of the hospital or park.
Is that a $50,000-$60,000 entry and then a maintenance of less or maintenance of about the same?
It would seemingly be about the same, just based on the way the sand does get deposited in there. It just gets there uniformly deposited. The cement structure is what actually impounds additional sand. So there's kind of a threshold that gets stuck there, And it doesn't go above 8 feet generally of sand because that can get drafted off. But that 8 foot sill pretty much does control it.
So, Paul, is there budgetary items to support doing that for the district within the budget that you see?
There was a potential. You could fund it certainly out of the improvement fund. That would be a definite way you could fund that.
So if the board should consider that, there would be an option. What I'm getting at from a budget perspective, yeah. Do we have flexibility for the board to be able to make a decision? Did that come up in the course of normal business so that they could pursue
without the budget committee needing the budget
without amending the budget?
Yeah, I think you'd be best to put it in now, and the way you could do that. Again, improvement fund would have the resources available. So when you're actually looking about dollars, you could do it through that. And
I want to recognize Mr. Parks. He's had his hand up for.
Oh. I think part of my question has been answered with this most recent discussion. But looking at the issue of the lower end of the lake at the mouth of the upper part of the Dee River, I guess. I have a difficult time dividing what is the mouth of the river and what is the mouth of the lake. Anyway, if the board took position about a year ago to remove some of the logs, but unfortunately they only went halfway. They left the logs in the lake, and that resulted in more sand building up, and is still silted up or sanded up to the point where you can still walk across it at any time you choose. And looking at historical photos, that part of the lake close to Highway 101 has been a very popular and very well-used recreational area in the past 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it could well be now and be a real asset. But it's a question of how do we take care of that? And perhaps if you look at various portions of the budget, it could be justified under and funds transferred under other issues as well, because I suspect if you removed some of the sand and removed the logs, you would have fewer seagulls and you'd probably have a lower E. coli count at that point of the river of the lake. And so sanitation, you've got lots of issues if it were possible to transfer some funds and take care of that problem. And I would like to see something happen. I come back to the question of is it appropriate to do it now, and is this committee setting policy, or is this committee merely implementing what the board can do? And I would like to see something done which would allow the board to make such a decision.
And again, hopefully this committee is keeping the board's options open.
That's what I would like
to
see.
And I think Paul was about to explain how, with respect to at least dredging at the Dee River, that option could, which might include log removal, that option could be kept open.
Would that be
so? How do we do that?
Would that be something that would go under the in the improvement fund, maybe under erosion and sediment control, if we were to want to allocate additional funds? And
that's a possibility. I think you could also just create the line item too. Because, it doesn't fit neatly into vegetation management and or watershed protection very well specifically. And those were, some of the larger mechanisms. They're all material and services regardless. So you could just have it be included in material and services. But in order to kind of maybe identify, I think, the role that you are anticipating it be used for, but setting it aside as an option, just creating a line item within material and services for dredging, and if you want to say dredging the Dee River, that would be probably the cleanest way to do it, and that's something you could do.
Chairman Walker, Green, how about
he has
You know, we're in a, I think a lot of us get the feeling that we're in a transition stage. Things are fluid. And we're going more from a homeowners association style of thinking to a community-based decision-making process. And, you know, you have basically, we're struggling with a static budget that is trying to address a very fluid process. And we had an interesting person offer testimony last night, right at the very end, and he made the statement, the lake is dying. And he's correct. And until we address that problem, you know, we're basically shuffling the chairs on the Titanic. And we can't address our problems, work our way out of our problems with the same style of thinking that got us into those problems. And during the upcoming years, I think we're going to have to change our way of thinking. And unfortunately, we do the budget now that has to address problems over the next year. So it's going to be a challenge.
Whole lake dredging, yeah.
I don't want to get into a debate. I mean, we do have some challenges ahead. I always shy away from the words impossible, I was here during that time too. I was involved during that time too, and I get it. All I'm saying is that we do have a fluid process, and we're trying to address it with a very static document. And that's going to make challenges, period. Thank you.
Mr. Hoover?
So at the appropriate time of making motions, I'm hoping to make a motion that we include the charter somehow in this document, whether a reference to the website or something else. I've only been here 20 years. I haven't been here 27 years. But having been a part of this conversation for the last 20 years, as Mr. Ward mentioned, I'm always curious what somebody means by dying lake, because I've heard in meetings that I've attended, Paul referenced a dying lake as a lake that doesn't have fish in it, and yet, as my understanding is, when they formed the Devil's Lake Water Improvement District, they weren't worried about fish, they were worried about access to the lake for recreation. And so a dying lake 27 years ago may have had a different implication and a different intent in the voters levying a tax on their properties than a dying lake gets referred to in some conversations today as a lake that won't support fish habitat or won't support vegetation. And I'm always concerned about things morphing in this fluid, and I think things need to be fluid, but they also need to have that foundation. And I think if we look at that charter, the original intent that the property owners or the voters in the city of Lincoln City or in the watershed intended this money to be used for, it might go a long ways towards helping some of these budget decisions that are being made. Secondly, I went back and took the five priorities as this budget document says were decided by the board in April 2010 on page 5. Grass carp, septic tank, revitalization, communication to the general public, DNA testing, and sewering the lake. And you know, I don't see, as we discussed earlier, the cafe as being any of those five priorities, and yet it's holding a $400,000 section of the budget there representing a expenditure. You know, if we're going to start looking at things that are actually on that list, I would need to see a recommendation from Paul on what should be on that list for sewer in the lake, or is sewer in the lake the number five priority that actually takes no expenditure of dollars, and therefore, you know, if we're not going to expend dollars and this, you know, entity spends dollars, you know, why is it even part of that? So, you know, whether it's dredging, which isn't on those first five priorities, it might be a very high priority, or whether it's sewer in the lake, I'm still looking for and would request, you know, if I'm on this committee next year, for the board to say, you know, these are our five priorities. This is how much money we want to allot to these five priorities. This is the money that we're not using as part of our budget, as more of a recommendation that's made to Paul. And I understand there's things that are going to slip in May, you know, or the end of April, that the board may not be able to rule upon. But if I get that kind of feedback from the board, you know, this is where we'd like to. In the same way, the city of Lincoln City, you know, has a you know, a direction that's given, it makes it a whole lot easier to make decisions, and I think it would eliminate some of these discussions about should we be including money because we've heard it be talked about, or should we be including money because it has been talked about. Thank you.
So I have a quick question, Jim. You know, I guess what I hear you saying is maybe one of the recommendations from this committee would be that the board is, you know, provided a preview of the known items that are going into the budget so that they can, you know, just give a thumbs up before this committee meets in future years.
That would seem to help a lot.
I just have to speak to that. That actually would violate budget law, and so that's not something we can do. The budget process is it's incumbent on the budget officer to have the sense of the district, what the needs are, where it's going, and make the recommendation. The budget is then released to the general public all at once, and actually discussion about that budget is actually prohibited until this meeting. So it might make sense to do it that way, but it would be against budget law. But what, you know, what the budget officer does do is collect the information throughout the year, identify the costs that have been associated with existing projects, see where those projects may continue or end, and then forecast. So it's not a perfect system, but it is the system that we're built within.
So could the board at that meeting not talk about the budget, but say these are the line items that we want to see the budget officer direct money to? Because that wouldn't be looking at a budget. That would be simply saying these are the lines that we want to see numbers attached to, and you know, beyond this, it's a very low priority. That would give an indication of the board's priorities in a more and a clearer snapshot other than April 2010, because there may be priorities that happened since April 2010, and yet, you know, we're making a budget, and I would think there would need to be some process that was concise that didn't violate public budget process law, where the board would say, you know, these are our intents for the next year, and these are the areas we'd like to see funding attributed to. You put it together, we'll have a chance to vote on it as a committee, but at least it would make the process a little more directed by the time it got to the committee, and this committee would at least know that the items that were there, by the fact they were part of a meeting, were discussed, and it was generated as a board-driven item versus a director-driven item. And
that process happens for us. Typically, we have a goal-setting process. If it's identified that those goals are large enough and need enough work on, we have foregone having a second, you know, or more current goal-setting process. So it's been, on average, every 2 to 3 years, on average, that there's a larger goal-setting process. And I mean, you could do it every year, but there's also a lot of time and work that goes into just setting goals when you've got 5 or even 20 that you're actually working on. And in fact, our last goal-setting process, we actually had a very large discussion as to whether we went with the top five or we went with the top 22, I think it was, actually. And so there were all of those, and there was good arguments for either side. And what the district just decided to say, well, we're just going to cap it at five right now. We understand that there's things that can come up. And in fact, the cafe was the perfect example. That was like a top 22, and it was put in the budget last year as a authorization for an opportunity based on the fact that there was opportunity. And so it was a
authorization. I don't understand that as part of this committee, because that's what I'm afraid of, is that this committee
is authorization for the district to make a decision. It's an opportunity authorization, if you would. And so that in itself has those goal setting processes like you're asking for happen. They just don't necessarily happen in February before each year.
So not intending this to sound sarcastic, and I'm trying to think how I say it, but if there's 22, or if there were the top 22, and math says 5 plus 1 is 6, you know, that means we have 5 priorities plus the cafe, which is 6. What are the other 16 items that were part of those 22, and are they equally represented in this budget as a placeholder, or is the 1, the cafe of the other 17, you know, the desire of you as the director? And I need to know that, because I'm looking for the 22 priorities of the board and making sure that all 22, if that's what there were, have the access to funding, not 5 that are directly called the priorities they wanted to address, and then 1 that's picked out while the other 17 or 16 of them are left.
I hear exactly what you're saying, and we had these conversations last year, as I recall, too.
But I'm in the same situation
and
this year.
And I understand that. And what, you know, the decision-making process was is to provide...
Whose decision-making process?
The committees. Your committee.
Last year?
Yeah, last year. Okay. So the thought process was, is given the fact that although this number 6, the sixth man, if you will, off the bench analogy, wasn't in the top 5, and it may have been 22 on the list of the top 22, it might not have been in the top 10, wherever it was placed, in that sense, disregarding wherever it may have been, the fact that there was opportunity that the district was actually engrossed in brought it up far enough in certainly my estimation as the budget officer, and convinced the committee was also convinced of the same, that it warranted inclusion. Now, if we want to do that for everything in those items, as you suggest, yeah, we could do, but that was not the direction that I, as the budget officer, sensed the opportunity for this unique fundamental part of the Devil's Lake plan going forward was uniquely timed around a sale of a parcel.
So then it sounds to me like the other 16...
It's not necessarily going to be available in 20 years when we want to start planning for it if it's only part of that top 20.
So the other 16 of the top priorities, the top 22, don't have a pertinent or an opportunity that exists? Because I don't know what they are. I mean, I haven't seen that list in the 2 years that I've been on this committee. So I'm not saying
not
I don't
trust
you.
Not certainly at the level that this would have been at, yeah, in answer to your question.
That information would also be helpful if I'm being asked to make funds available for all 22.
Mm-hmm. Which you're not.
Well, but I'm being asked to make it for 5 plus 1. So if we're going to start looking at the ones in addition to the 5, then I have to look at the additional 17 as also being in that category, because I don't know that those other ones, whether dredging is on that, you know, list of 22, and that should be an item that some of the budget money should be divided into or a placeholder put in there, whether dredging isn't on there, and that should be the 23rd one. So I'm lacking some information.
Let me say that. I mean, this information is all available, and all the minutes of our meetings are there. The manager's report is there for each meeting.
I'm not denying it's available. I'm just saying that as part of this meeting, there's another 17 out there.
But all we could do is to attach to the budget message the minutes of all of our meetings, the manager's reports, for, because that's what you would need to understand what he already understands as the budget officer, and that's why he's uniquely situated to be a good budget officer, is that he, you know, he manages the district. He's at every meeting. He does the minutes.
If we're taking a trust me attitude, then I don't need to be here right now, because you have a budget officer who's also your district manager, and really he's got the knowledge that there shouldn't be the question of that information provided in the public forum in a meeting like this in a more concise format, other than looking at all the minutes attending all the meetings. And I'm just looking for an opportunity to have the rest of that picture provided as part of this process, which is what I'm assuming.
And I'm saying the rest of the picture is there. It's on the website in the form of the minutes and the manager's reports for each meeting. I don't know what better picture could be created than that,
Mr. Chair.
Because you want to make a list of priorities, but you know, time goes on, things change, things are fluid. You know, I would, you know, if we had to redo the list, things might change a little bit. I mean, it's not that helpful to have this.
So here'd be my recommendation. You know, and I respect your response, or my recommendation is really simple, that if we're going to have a list of the top five priorities included in this budget message, and if there are, in fact, 22 priorities that we're picking one other item off the list, that it says, here are the top five, here are the other 17, you know, and I'm choosing one of these 17 as an item that is there. And I guess this is an idea. It's not a suggestion. An idea as far as being able to help communicate to at least one person in the general public. I picked this one item in addition to the five that are stated here because this unique opportunity still exists. The building is still available. It's still being discussed. And that, by including the other 17, would indicate that these items are still there as priorities, but this is why this one is made as a bigger priority. And I'm just not, that part of the process wasn't there. And I don't doubt that I could go back and look at minutes or, you know, get meeting online and do things like that. But as part of a budget process, if this committee's being asked to look at priorities and making sure those are there, there's 16 other items that I'm assuming includes dredging as one of them, that I'm guessing on that list of 22 that we are talking about, that may or may not have the same merit or the need for budget, and that would help me in that process of looking at what we're doing and why we're doing it. That's just
Mr. Parks, did you have something to say?
Well, I was just thinking and listening to this discussion that perhaps it might be useful to explain with a little more clarity within the introduction to this budget, that the monies to be spent can only exist if the monies are available. Obviously, the bottom line of this budget has to be that they're equal. The $400,000 set out for the cafe issue is not a direction for expenditure unless there is a direction for the income as well. So you've got to have a bond issue. You've got to get that money. Given the present budget and the present level of income, that item is not going to exist. It takes additional action by the board to place that bond issue before the public, or borrow the money from the bank or whatever source, and gain the money before that money can be spent. And perhaps some of these other issues fall into that same category. It depends upon the availability of the money. And with dredging, perhaps, it could be shifted around from additional sources, but if you call it sediment removal or whatever you want to call it to get rid of the D word, it could be created from other sources. But again, over the years that this budget is in existence, the board cannot expend that money until they find that the money is actually available. And so that we establish a goal, we establish an overall financial direction, but we're not directing now that those monies actually be spent or that they can be spent until it comes up to the point where the board has to make the decision, can we write that check? So the budget is a direction, but it is certainly not a mandatory expenditure.
Yeah, I'm not, I would even say it's not even a direction. It's just a...
It's probably in there, and perhaps I didn't read it clearly, but I'm just suggesting that given the discussion, it obviously isn't clear enough that everybody reads it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think the placeholder concept is about the best, that, you know, the budget officer looking at everything that the district has done, what the board has done for the past year, and what it looks like, what all the possibilities are going forward, then has to come up with a version of the budget. We need to review that, make any recommendations for changes that we have based on our view of what might happen going forward, and come up with something to recommend to the district board for adoption. And so, I mean, that's the best we can do. It sounds like, the discussion seems to be to lean toward the idea of making it more of a policy tool by, you know, having these, the maybe it'd be more specific than I think is desirable. I think you want to, it's a document that should leave the districts and the boards' options as wide open as possible. Any major decisions that the board makes, I mean, it's also sort of an if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality that I have. Any major decision that we make, we only make after public hearing, opportunity for plenty of input, and we've just done things that way. We haven't spent money recklessly. Our reserve funds continue to grow, I think we pretty much have what we want. If we want to tweak the budget a little bit today, make some recommendations, fine, but that's where we're at.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I think you've just summarized what I intended to say, that this is a document which establishes the availability or the ability of the board to make decisions later on based upon the availability of funds. And at the end, it's the board that's going to make that decision, not this budget committee, unfortunately. And our goal is to adopt a document which creates the ability of the board to make those decisions so long as they are within the financial feasibility. Unfortunately, we're not the federal government. We cannot print money. So we've got to have the money in before we can spend it. And that also is not only the issue with the $400,000, it's the issue with every dollar in this budget. If suddenly the tax base were to be eliminated, all of these expenditures which we put into the budget would probably be eliminated at the same time.
Any further discussion?
Yeah. Not a member of the board. A citizen. Budget committee. As such, feel as though I should be able to make recommendations that are associated with policy, not only for increasing the work the district form of taking a look at various types of dredging in various areas over in the future, but also for deleting grams or positions that I feel are no longer necessary. And to that end, I did provide Linda and members of the board or committee with a one-page summary of that I was considering making, all of which are in an area which we've been told that that are in the policy area and we should stay away from at this meeting. As such, I really don't know what I'm doing here other than making minor adjustments to someone else's budget.
I misspoke if I said that this shouldn't reflect any policy. I think that's the reason for citizen involvement in the budget committee. So I'll retract that, because I think you're right. I mean, this is an opportunity for citizens to have some input into to what the district is doing, and so to that end, I agree with what you're saying.
And to that end, I did get a number of suggestions from my neighbors who paid the taxes that they'd like to see discussed. Now, maybe this is not the place for the discussion, but at the same time, would like to see that which I gave Linda into the minutes as having been submitted by as a result of discussions with other non-district board members.
I haven't seen that. Is it possible that I was the only one?
Thank you.
Well, by entering them in motions, because if you're making them,
they're policy motions.
Well, I mean, you're a member of the committee, and you're free to make any motions you'd like to make.
It's noon. Do you want to start now?
Yeah, let's get. Is anybody anxious to break for lunch? I don't see any enthusiasm for that.
If motions are going to take an hour, yes, then I'm anxious to. And I see, at least in the first two or three paragraphs I'm reading, there's going to be some discussion on this. So I would make a motion that we break for lunch so that we don't break in the middle of the comments.
Okay, or maybe we could go for half an hour and see where we're at, and if we're dragging along, we could break at that point. What do you think?
That'd be fine.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Peary. You have the floor.
Okay. Where is the cafe? Budget officer. Minimum. B31. Those are all the loans associated.
All right. Do we have a second?
Second.
Do we have any further discussion?
Yet, I did. As part of the discussion of this, you know, I believe that if we're going to put in a possible bond or borrowing of money to pay for that, we should look at possibly borrowing or bonding money for sewering or for dredging the lake, since these are hypothetical expenditures that simply provide the board with the ability to incur debt in order to meet their goals. We're not talking about budget limitations here. We're talking about, you know, we could put the line items in for the other 17 priorities, put $50,000 or $60,000 per line item in for each one of those priorities, because it's not coming out of the budget. We could just simply say it provides the board with the opportunity to incur indebtedness if they choose to within the next year in order to accomplish these very specific needs. And I say that because to pick one item and to put that money in there and to leave the other, I'm saying 17 or 16, whatever it is, unaddressed, seems like a bad decision on the part of the board if there's these other items that are part of a plan that could require money.
All right, but this motion is just directed at the CAFE line item, and we can...
Well, I know. I understand that, but I'm speaking to the reason why I will vote to remove this and why I added the second to it, because if we're going to start putting line items in for items that we want to provide the board the opportunity to incur indebtedness in order to accomplish, then we should be including a lot more than just this one, and I think we shouldn't have any at this point.
Yeah, I mean, your other option would be to move later to add a line item for sewer or to add a line item for dredging. That's the other way of looking at it.
All right. Would we also have the opportunity to just simply say, instead of putting a specific reason for it on there, say that through the discussions that we've heard today as presented by the director, that there's at least one project, which is the CAFE project, and possibly others, whether it's dredging or dredging the whole lake or the Dee River, that could require a bond issue to be put forth, that we need to put $500,000 in that line item, not directed as for CAFE, but just simply say it looks like there's issues that could come before the board this next year that might need a placeholder, and instead of specifically tying it to the CAFE, we detach it from the CAFE and give the board the latitude to use that money for whatever they want. If the CAFE becomes a priority, that's one. If dredging becomes a priority, that's another. And that would allow the board then to make a decision to say we want to allocate $400,000 or $500,000 towards dredging because we have the latitude instead of tying the hands. And I guess that's the point I'm making, is when it becomes one item, and it's the reason why I'll vote against this, it becomes policy. And I'm not opposed to possibly giving the board the latitude to use it for that or use it for something else, but why do we just limit it to a CAFE so that next year we can say, well, we've allocated money each year for this, therefore it looks like it's been a priority and we're including it another year. Thank you.
Further discussion on Mr. Peary's motion regarding the CAFE item?
I am not a fan of the CAFE, certainly at the higher cost, but I'm not necessarily opposed at low cost. So by passing this motion, I don't think we're getting rid of the CAFE idea, nor are we preventing the district from going ahead and proceeding if they could get a price that they could live with. So I personally don't see any problem with it being a line item at this point, because to take it out and then add it back in later with a, well, I've forgotten the term, budget,
supplemental
budget would be time-consuming, more expensive, and no reason to put ourselves in that predicament.
Yeah, I mean, to provide an extreme example, I mean, suppose that the college came to us and said that we're really hard up for money, and we'll sell it to you for $100,000.
Right.
And instead of being able to say yes, now we got to have a... We probably still want to go through a public hearing process and a supplemental budget process because we passed this motion.
Right.
So that's why.
That's, and you know, maybe the amount is awfully low in that hypothesis or that the theoretical situation, but you know, I know the college is anxious to sell its properties that it has for sale.
But I'm using the ridiculous amount
to
show.
Right.
The problem that we create for ourselves. But
I noticed in recent notifications that I've received in the email that apparently there's some issues regarding the lease on the existing office space, and that finally the district is being recognized as a non-profit, and therefore the landlord isn't getting the having to pay taxes on this, or shouldn't be. And anyway, the reason I raise this is because we are paying office space, we are paying rent, and one of these, at least in my mind, the real reasons for the CAFE project is it would provide a capital expenditure to provide a facility for the office space and be offset by the loss or the no longer the need for the rental of office space. Having sat on a number of nonprofit boards in the past, and frequently face the issue of what do we do with leased space. And at the time, they were leasing very high-priced office space in downtown Portland and had the opportunity to purchase property. And some of the board members were absolutely opposed to spending money on a capital space, capital cost for space. And having watched in years since then what the investment would have provided and eliminated some of that cost, I would be in favor of maintaining this as an opportunity to get a physical place for the Lake District to maintain its management facilities and its other functions, regardless of what other glorious issues may and what be involved in the cafe description. But in my mind, it's a capital expenditure, and I would be in favor of saving it so that we can take advantage of that capital expenditure when it's necessary.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I think that the reason that that amount is so low is there was a lot of discussion over the last couple of years about this, and I think the general consensus of the board is if we could get somewhere where there's not an extra cost out of pocket for what our monthly expenses are now, it would be a smart thing to look at, and that's why that $400,000 mark was basically capped at that point. So I think the board's very responsible about looking at this, you know, financially prudent. So that might answer a couple questions why it was at that amount, even though the college wants quite a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, my last information was that the college wanted $800,000 or $900,000, you know, so we just obviously we're budgeting a maximum of $400,000. So as far as I know, we're a ways apart. Further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
So just to be clear, that being in favor is removing it and opposing it is to leave it in. Is that correct?
Correct. Why don't we signify by raising our hands how you want to vote so that our reporter can see more easily. So if you're in favor of the motion, signify by raising your hand. I think we have two in favor. If you oppose the motion, signify by raising your hand. We have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, or seven. All right, the motion is defeated by a vote of 7-2.
Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion.
Yes, sir.
I'd make a motion that in the same line item, it looks like it's in capital expenditures, and Paul can correct me because I'm not real familiar with this budget process here, that we also include then a $100,000 placeholder for dredging to be financed in the same way through a loan or a bond or some indebtedness in order to provide the board with the opportunity to pursue that option should it be a continued source of discussion, either to provide lake quality or provide access to, you know, city facilities, which would then provide more awareness of what goes on in the lake, including, I think, the proposed cafe building, which I'm not sure is in a navigable part of the lake, you know, should the water level drop, and would kind of work against our previous motion that was support or voted down, therefore supporting a little bit of this cafe proposal. So I would, I guess to sum that up, I would propose that we use a placeholder of $100,000 to provide the board with the opportunity by passing a bond to dredge some portion of the lake.
Is it okay to ask you a question?
Yes.
Is there a difference between a line, what's the difference between a line item where we allow for the bonding instead of using cash available? Is there a real difference between the two? If we have the cash, do we have to borrow it? If we only allocate for borrowing the money?
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah, so what would be required in the first case scenario where you're requesting a bond would be a revenue. You'd have to budget for that revenue. and then the expenditures as a requirement. So you'd have a twofold change to the budget. If you're using existing funds, you would just budget for the requirement, and basically reduce your item says reserve for future expenditures by that number.
So I believe I'm referring to the first one, because I'm not looking to reduce the future funds.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Further discussion?
Don't think that we should be paying for that. That would be a lot of money to suddenly come up with a use for.
And I would respond by saying we're not proposing that we're going to pay for it. We're just putting a placeholder in there or choose. Based on public input, whether the lake level is left at the current height or reduced, or whether the board chooses to pursue CAFE and then needs to make it navigable so people can actually reach it from the lake, that they have the opportunity to, you know, look at a bond as a source of raising revenue and to dredge a portion of the lake.
Thank you. I got it.
A serious and legitimate possibility.
Thank you.
Those are called weasel words.
What? Serious and legitimate possibility? Come on. That's what it is.
If I could interject one thing here, and it just occurred to me, is the complexity of adding a bond measure to this document versus, say, a loan?
I'll say a loan then.
A loan would be a very simple thing.
That's fine. Hey, I meant it in the same context as the wording that I've seen in the forms that I've seen here that reference the $400,000. So however that mechanism works, I'm proposing duplicating that mechanism and using those funds as a placeholder should the board choose to pursue some form of dredging for whatever the reason.
Well, no, it's still a second, though.
That's just a cash line item.
So it would be a loan in that would be incurred, not necessarily finding a debt service for that loan. That would be an additional thing you'd have to also generate, I guess, if in fact that were to come to fruition, unless you used part of the debt service associated with the CAFE and redirected those funds. So
I guess it is
a complicated thing, but it's simpler than doing it with we'd have to get a whole new form for a bond.
I think we've already made that change. Are you suggesting to Jim in his motion that he needs to include a motion for a debt service line item for that?
Yes, and then also a means to pay for it.
And what would be your recommendation to enable the motion?
Well, it would have to come out of the general fund.
Well, except I'm wanting to duplicate the method and the means that was used for the CAFE line item, mm-hmm. which I believe, without calling it a bond, showed an indebtedness mm-hmm. that would be incurred by any number of reasons, whether it was a loan or whether it was passing a bond. I mean, there was a lot of options left there, so I'm not proposing that my motion includes a bond. I'm just saying that if we can handle that process in this budget cleanly, yeah. without a lot of additional work for the purposes of a CAFE, leaving the possibility of either borrowing money or passing a bond, we should be able to use that same mechanism without a lot of additional work by duplicating the same place it shows up and just adding a line item that says dredging.
Can't you put your line item in for dredging and increase statement of indebtedness on LB1 to $500,000?
Yeah, but to really put this on the table as legitimate opportunity, you really need to have a mechanism to pay for it, and the repayment schedule would have to be funded out of the general fund.
So what's the mechanism for the CAFE?
Is a debt service through the general fund.
Okay.
So you'd have to come up with additional monies to raise that, say, if it right now it's at $30,000, to pay off a $400,000 loan, you'd have to do the math on the, whatever that additional $5,000 or $7,000 or whatever that is to make your debt service effectively cover $500,000 versus $400,000. And so that money would need to, I mean, realistically should be in the budget if it's going to be available. Otherwise, it doesn't really become available without some trade-off. So, like, if you only want to have $30,000 for debt service, which is a fair amount of the general fund, then realistically, you should probably limit your loan acquisition opportunities to $400,000, which is based on some loan work that we did, or put more money into that. And if you're going to do that, you want to take it from within the general fund such that there will be an ongoing means to pay that debt.
So now I'm getting to some of the meat of this. When you propose a $400,000 budget for the possible acquisition of a cafe, the debt burden on that on a yearly basis, the $30,000, which I think I'm what I'm hearing, is it your opinion that that maximizes or maxes out the ability of the district to borrow money? Because that's a whole different scenario if what I'm hearing is that by passing a budget that has this $400,000 placeholder as a member of this budget committee, I'm giving the board the ability to, at the advice of the director, maximize their ability to borrow money and still be managing their budget in a proper way. And I guess I haven't heard that as part of the discussion. So
it's a good question. And to get to that, short answer is no. But
how much more room is there then?
Well, there's not a lot in this year, but in future years there's a lot more. And that gets at to that long kind of range forecast for the district, where you have this $26,000 infusion of cash with the sunset of urban renewal, plus you have additional growth at 3-5% a year. So if you get a fixed loan, say a 20-year loan, and your debt service is $30,000 on that for 20 years, that last payment when you pay your last $30,000 in 2032, is a much smaller fraction than it is today of your general resources. So borrowing more now is more difficult than it would be, say, in a year's time or 5 years' time as the district grows.
So I'm really confused, and I appreciate your patience, but it's important for my motion, maybe how I vote on my own motion. This $400,000, I'm not sure in my limited understanding of this whether this is $400,000 out of reserves that we're voting in this budget if we don't change it, or whether this $400,000 is $400,000 that could be incurred in a debt through either a loan or passing a bond. Which is it?
It's the loan.
It's the loan.
It's the incursion.
It incurs a
debt of $400,000 with a debt service of $30,000 a year to pay that off. And the way you...
But it doesn't touch our $600,000 in reserves.
No. Well, the less than $600,000.
Or whatever that number is. Over $500,000 in reserves.
How does budgeting the $30,000 debt service, how does that restrict our options going forward? When you budget for $30,000, what does that do to...
Well, it's just being physically responsible and saying that if we were to incur that $400,000 debt, that we have a means to pay for it.
No, I know, but having budgeted that, does that close off, does that shrink the availability of money under the budget for other...
Yeah, it pretty much puts it as... It holds that as this, the where it would be expended. So, yeah, it pretty much takes... Say if you have $200,000 in your general revenue, your general fund, and if you want to anticipate having that $400,000 loan come in, you need to reserve enough money to pay for it. And so this $30,000 would do that.
I understand, but by making that reservation, where does you're taking that money basically and setting it aside for payments, so...
what does that reduce? That has to, there's
the general.
That's actually money that we're going to have to pay out.
Yeah. Yeah. So it reduces the, it uses the resources in the general fund. So it takes money.
Which in reality is how much?
Of the general fund?
Yeah.
We sit at about $200,000. So what's that, 15%?
That's
probably debt service.
But that's also allocated for operational expenses, right?
Well, of the $200,000?
Yeah.
Operational expenses of...
Oh, yeah, your monthly expenses. I mean, it's all used up.
I guess I'm a little bit confused. So, your general fund is used for your reoccurring monthly stuff.
Right.
Of which a debt service would be part of a monthly expense, or by draft it would be...
Okay, so you're going to have to do that as you're increasing it. Say, so, if you put a $10,000, allocate $10,000 a year to payment of the $100,000 for dredging, mm-hmm. then your operational expenses need to go up by $10,000.
Correct. As well as...
$10,000 is going to come from where? From what other fund? I mean, some other fund's going to go down.
Well, last year we had about $56,000 in Indian reserves that were transferred into the thing. So it looks to me like there's at least last year's budget left $50,000 plus in unused money. And I'm not for using all the budget. That's not the point I'm making, but it doesn't necessarily impact it. Right. But I also look at things in my business as a contractor comparatively. So I'm saying, whether it's the assistant or assessed position, and I'm not discussing the validity of that, but if that costs us roughly $50,000 a year, then if we eliminated that position, which I think is one of the motions that may come up here, we would in fact have enough in our budget without affecting the amount we're putting in reserves to pay the payment in simple terms on a cafe building and on dredging the Dee River. And in theory, you could do that ongoing year in and year out. So for me, if I was in the position on the board, as the gentleman at the other end of the table said, I'm here not just to stamp this budget, but I'm here to actually influence policy by including or taking money out of the budget, I could say, wow, here's a mechanism that provides dredging and provides a cafe building, and the only thing we really give up in the budget is either our $50,000 that we transfer every year into this reserve fund that keeps growing, or it affects the solve for the things that Seth in his position, not him personally, but his position provides every year. And that's what I'm getting a clarification on, and for me it's just a balance.
You need to find a way to fund it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a mechanism to fund it, or saying, there's some other project that we're doing that is a lesser priority than those two items, whatever they might be.
But back to your original motion, I mean, so the $10,000, that just basically is going to shrink the reserve fund.
Okay.
At the end of the
day. You could try a debt service out of a reserve fund. But I wouldn't recommend it, because...
No, but I mean, just by swelling the general fund by $10,000, what shrinks by $10,000?
Something else in the general fund.
It's back.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Paul, the ending fund balance, as I understand it, there was over $50,000 from the current budget year...
Expected.
It's about ready to run. About ready to run out. That's going to be transferred into reserves.
$30,000 of which was from the debt service line item.
Ah. So we had budgeted for $30,000 of debt service.
Correct.
That we didn't use. So, do we also have that same debt service line item in this budget this year? So we're really not talking about having to come up with an additional way of financing or paying for the debt service. You've actually built into this budget the ability to service a $300,000 or $400,000 debt.
$400,000.
A $400,000 debt.
Yeah.
in there. So that, if that's 30, where's the other 26 or 20,000? Because it looked like there was about 56,000 or 58,000.
Correct. And so the where some of those other dollars would have come from would have been underspending in material and services of other sorts. So you have your LB 31, which you see in the third column from the right, so the adopted budget from the most recent year, it would be from generally from underspending in those items. By
over budgeting. I mean, I'm not saying we should reduce the budget, but we either over budgeted or we underspent, one of the two.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, in theory, if we average that out, you know, we have $30,000 or $40,000 to, and I'm not encouraging us to go into debt. I would be at a board meeting encouraging the board not to do this. I just want to provide the board with the opportunities to make the decisions they need to make. CAFE and dredging is two of the ones that I've heard proposed so far.
And so, if you looked at historical data in the material and services of the general fund, I don't have most recent copy. I should have that. So you look at accounting, it's pretty flat. There's probably not a lot of room there. We budgeted pretty close to what we expended. Consulting varies, but we're kind of either we do the 10,000 or the 1,000, whatever it is. The elections we've spoken about. Equipment maintenance and repair, maybe a couple hundred dollars. I mean, we come pretty close. The erosion and sediment control, there's about $500 there. There's not a lot there, but if the insurance would be a spot where a part of that total $56,000 would have come from, because the insurance and bonds was upped last year as a result of sensibly budgeting for an increased insurance cost should the district incur a capital expense such as a CAFE. So by not incurring that debt, not only did we have $30,000 of debt service that we didn't use, but we also had a couple thousand dollars of insurance money that we didn't use.
Okay, well, I mean, these are $26,000 of line items that we can all see. I mean,
I appreciate the I'm not looking for that. I would just, in a general concept, I'm saying that, you know, there's a mechanism. This isn't a matter of if we pass this motion to provide the opportunity for the board to incur $100,000 of debt towards dredging, that it wouldn't necessarily cut, if it had happened in the last budget year, a service that the district provided. It could have been provided out of funds that weren't spent or funds that are already line item allocated towards debt service but haven't yet been used. And if the dredging got there first, I'm sure that would be a discussion at the board level where they would say, by voting on dredging, we're taking $10,000 of the $30,000 we put in here as a placeholder, and we would have to maybe have a more difficult decision when it came to buying a building for the CAFE. But it's not that there's not money set aside for debt service right now. It would just provide them the opportunity to choose where they used it. We wouldn't have to find it.
It does, but it does so very weakly. It doesn't really provide the opportunity as you may be trying to establish.
So it depends on whether you want the CAFE to be the number one and dredging number two, or whether the dredging is number one.
Both opportunities to be available.
And that's a decision by the board, I think.
Yeah. So I guess if I understand the logic that Jim's using, and I think I get it, is that, you know, $30,000 debt service during the fiscal year assumes that the $400,000 loan would be executed almost immediately, so you'd have the funds to do that throughout the course of the entire fiscal year. And we could probably clearly say that that's not going to happen on the 1st of July. Therefore, there's room in that $30,000 to support both sides of servicing a debt that would be incurred partway during the year rather than
I would think you want to maximize your indebtedness, potential indebtedness to what's serviceable.
Right.
I really do think that would be the sensible way to do that.
Well, I mean,
and if you're gonna offer the opportunity, you know, it's incumbent to really provide the resource.
Right. I'm not saying that that's the correct approach. I assume that the approach is, make your budget to where you can do it at any point during the fiscal year. Mm-hmm. Right, so it balances out. I get that. I do have a question, and this might just be, I was thinking about, you know, as we were talking about this $400,000 that's set aside for the cafe, which exact line item in the budget would, you know, the down payment or cash portion of a deal come from without a supplemental budget to execute on that?
Well, there's opportunities to just finance that outright.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just assuming 100% finance.
Yeah.
So I have one follow-up question, and I'm still getting my head wrapped around this, even though it's a second budget year and I've watched the budget all year long. And thank you for sending the budget out. I really appreciate that. It helps to receive that monthly. I've heard anywhere from that we have a $250,000 reserve fund to a $750,000 reserve fund. And for the purposes of anybody in the general public that might be, you know, interested in that also, how much money does the district have outside of its budget that we're going to be voting this next year in reserve funds?
How much money does it have currently?
In other words, does the district have enough money where if they decided to buy the cafe building, they have $400,000 in cash assets that wouldn't affect this next budget year?
The district has basically cash assets.
Is that the 760 I see on the...
760 minus 400 minus 15. Thousand. So somewhere, I don't know, calculator.
345.
Okay.
375, is that
45? 345. 45, yeah, okay.
Something on that order, yeah. And what that is it's the working capital. So if you really want to see it right here, it's a line item on form LB11 in the improvement fund, the reserve fund. If you just look at item 4, working capital, that's $286,888. You add the transfer from the general fund of $56,910. You add a little interest, which you can actually add. Skip that dollar, skip the $15,000, skip the $400,000, and skip the $1 donation. And then if you were to sum it with just those figures, then you'd have this $345 or whatever Noel's saying is.
Mr. Parks?
I've been listening to this discussion, and I guess... I have one. Jim made a statement a little earlier that he wouldn't recommend that the board borrow money for this source, and I follow the same concept that I don't think it would be appropriate, and if I were on the board, I would not vote for it, and I would be a little upset if the board were borrowing money for what may well be a recurring expense, and. So that the logic of borrowing money for dredging doesn't seem to follow. I am as much as I'm in favor of the dredging issue, and I would like to question whether Jim's motion, which included the possibility of borrowing money for dredging, could be eliminated and just allow for the board to determine whether or not monies are available from other sources in the budget as they work through. Right now we're trying to work through the whole budget. What would happen if? Obviously, this is probably the wrong forum to do that. But if I would be in favor of Jim's motion to include dredging as a line item with the caveat that it be based upon the availability of funds or some other source other than borrowing, because I think it would be reckless if it were borrowing money for what is obviously likely to be a recurring expense.
Well, Linda, could you read Jim's motion back?
I'll withdraw the motion, restate it if you want.
Go ahead.
And I'll see if I can make it really simple. See if I can make it really simple in the process.
Does Mr. Scriven want to withdraw his second?
I will withdraw my second.
Okay. Sorry.
And I'll ask a question first. What I'm seeing is in the improvement fund under capital outlay is where that $401,000 shows up. Would dredging also occur in that same area under capital outlay? Would it be the same?
I think it'd be a material and service. It would be like a contract. Be material and service.
Okay.
You don't actually get a product.
Is there a way that, because we're incurring a debt for this, is there a way that we could include more than just the cafe and that $400,000 and say, cafe slash dredging slash sewering around the lake and include several items so that the board had the latitude to either incur debt or find another way of funding it? I guess I'm just looking at not tying the board's hands, and if you're telling me that there's only $400,000 of indebtedness that we can service out of our present budget, then I would be, if there's a way to do it and I can make that motion to say, you know, let's just say there's $400,000 of indebtedness, let the board have the opportunity to either use that for whatever mechanism they wanted, and that would be a great discussion at some future board meeting, whether it's the cafe building, and somebody says, well, I think dredging's a higher priority, or dredging comes up and somebody says, I don't want to preclude us from being able to spend money on a cafe building, but at least it leaves all the channels open and doesn't specifically tie it to a project, precluding other projects, because what I'm hearing is that by passing this budget and by tying it into the cafe as the budget officer at a future board meeting, you would have to say, well, you've already got a budget line item that I believe maximizes your ability to pay the indebtedness back, you know, on a yearly basis or monthly basis. Therefore, there's no other money available, and I don't want to back it into a corner that way. I want to make sure it's a little more latitude and a little more broad.
The answer to the question is yes, you could do that.
How would you do that?
You would just change the I think very simply the language of what he's suggesting. If in fact they are capital outlays, you could just include that into that line item.
Why would you not just incur add $100,000 in general fund materials and services? Dredging, $100,000.
You could do that in the reserve fund, not the general fund, because the general fund doesn't have $100,000. The improvement fund is where the money.
Reserve fund.
Yeah, the reserve fund you could.
I won't couch it. I'm more likely to vote for the budget and go to the next line item as long as the cafe isn't the only item listed on the $400,000. And that might serve my purposes and provide the people in the general public that I've talked to that have also given me feedback on this budget a little more comfort that they have the opportunity to know that this is not earmarked for a specific item, that this is a list of items that may be priorities for the board that would incur an indebtedness, and I'm comfortable.
Well, you know, I appreciate this, but there is a real process that the district's trying to go through, which is to budget and not to make it too open-ended. So I think that it's incumbent on this committee to actually make some of those decisions. So, you know, I think
how do I make those decisions without that input?
Check, you know, I think it actually doesn't really serve the public.
I just suggest
that to the committee in general, that if you're just saying, well, go ahead and borrow $400,000 here or $400,000 there, I think that's really kind of disingenuous to the process, because the budget process is really looking at identifying things in as near future as you can determine, which is a one-year horizon.
So I would respond this way. I think that there's three items that I've heard, some of which I agree with and some of which I don't, that could pop up as very high priorities for the board. Sewering around the lake is an item that's discussed in the budget, but doesn't have a dollar figure attached to it. I could imagine best or worst case scenario where the board says septic tanks, as we become more understanding of this, are a huge problem with the lake that we can't control through the city because the city doesn't want to be a part of this process for all the reasons that have recently come up. Therefore, we want to look at what it would take to come up with a study or actually do a design for putting sewers to all those houses, a sewer system instead of a septic system. And we want to make loans available for these people so that we can actually get this done, because we're here to improve the quality of the lake. So that's an item that the board in the next year, given discussions that are happening right now, might want to have access to creating debt in order to accomplish a goal. And there would be an opportunity for lots of public comment. I can see that dredging could be an equally high priority, you know, related to the fish structure slash dam slash whatever. And while I would come to those meetings and I would make sure that I had given input and gave comment, and other people would too, why wouldn't we simply say, if we can handle $400,000 of debt over the opportunity, why shouldn't we give the board the latitude to use that $400,000 in debt, given that there's at least three things that I can identify, and maybe there are more that I've missed, that could become priorities? We've already built in the $30,000 for the debt structure. Why don't we just give the latitude to build it in to say, you know, this is going to be a board decision, but we want to give them the latitude to make the real-time decisions as this morphs
and the third
year.
One?
There were sewers, dredging, and then your cafe building.
And then the cafe.
Right. So, have a motion?
Yeah.
Is there a motion?
I'm trying to figure out how to make this motion. And
Let's have a motion.
I believe I heard Paul say that I could make a motion to include, and I'm open to people proposing other items, but the sewer into the lake and the dredging as items along with the cafe building that could be funded by acquiring debt.
Do you have a second?
Question before I would consider that. I hear different types of...
We have a second. Now we're discussing.
Okay. Thank you. Paul, from a budget perspective, I hear, you know, I agree with Jim in terms of, you know, wanting to make sure that those types of projects have available funds. My concern is, could a single line item do that given the different types of outlay, either, you know, something becoming a capital asset out of that, you know, debt capability, or just a general expenditure for materials? Is that possible within budget law to do that?
Yes, I believe so. And it does become one of those weird things. There's this 15% rule that's not here.
Because for me, I don't want to sign up for something that's, you know, it's not going to be.
To the best of my recollection, yes. And the reason is you can actually transfer within the fund the total of the fund to other parts. So you could go, if you had a $100,000 fund and you had it all in capital, as long as you provide at least a $1 placeholder, and that's why we have done those $1 placeholders, you can move money into those funds by resolution.
Okay.
So I think the what I hear Mr. Hoover suggesting can be accomplished anyway, even without an action from this committee. So if the district board, and it might just be that you want to have that as a budgetary note, that there is there's been discussion about providing access to leveraged funds, debt serviced funds, for multiple uses, of which listing the three. And then if such that the board were in the position that they wanted to use those funds, then they could, by resolution, transfer that money into the material and service portion that might be sensible.
So moved.
I mean, I don't know how to say what he said.
So,
Mr. Peary, if that works.
So Paul, can you succinctly say this is what we need to do? So,
I would just suggest that the committee put a comment into the budget that suggests that debt service, which is right now capped at $30,000, be available for three purposes: sewering, dredging, and or the cafe, by discretion of the board. And that would be made through a resolution change by the board at the time that it was needed. And I believe that is correct. And that's if it's not correct and we have to do a supplemental budget, I'll apologize. But I'm pretty sure that's correct.
Yeah. Well, you're the one that's going to kick yourself for it. So.
So do we also have to have a line item in the improvement fund under requirements? You have to say capital outlay, colon,
dredging, 100,000?
That was the other question I had. The sewering one is harder to determine. I guess that would be a capital outlay. That's something you might still have ownership of. So yes, and then in the dredging, it would go under material and services, which you could have it be as a consultant or a contractor.
Right, yeah.
So there's an avenue for that one already. But I would maybe then suggest that you add capital outlay, sewer, and put $1 in there, taking a dollar from somewhere else. I mean, literally, just at least have that as an item that then can be transferred into. Otherwise, you can't. So, yep. Good call. And then just add to it that there be a line item in the improvement fund for capital outlay sewer of $1 and a subsequent reduction of $1 elsewhere in that fund. And we can just call it from... property act. I mean, yeah, I don't know where you want your dollar to come from. we'll just take it from property acquisition. We'll take that down to three.
I can make a donation right now to next year.
Well, I don't want to deal with donations. Well, actually, you could do. You'd have another revenue if you added a dollar to the donations. Then you would have. Would that be your preference?
I don't care. I'm just trying to make it simple.
No, that
we need to do something for the dredging. Also, is the dredging already handled under the?
That has to go under
materials and services, and it would go under contracting already. So,
right.
I mean, that would be an opportunity. So we wouldn't have to add another line item.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question which perhaps would unconfuse me a little bit? I understand where the capital investment into the real property falls legitimately into this. I understand how perhaps the dredging could, but I'm a little uncertain as to what the proposal is toward sewering that would put this in, because is the whole issue with sewering expecting that the Lake District is going to somehow create a fund which will pay for the sewer and then the property owners are going to repay? That opens up a can of worms which I question, one, the authority of the Lake District, because that's a city issue primarily, and secondly, it's the whole bonding issue, which is way above all of the other issues we've discussed. And where that falls into this category, I don't know.
It's a good question, and really I think you just answered it by saying it is a bond issue, and it becomes such a larger component. I don't know what was anticipated with this opportunity for
I can answer it. What I anticipated is that I would anticipate if there was going to be a bond issue, there would have to be a design feasibility study, a cost estimate, so you have something to put out to the the people. And that's going to require some funds. And full disclosure, I live on the east side of the lake. Then it's not about my own best interest because I can keep using my septic tank without having to pay any more costs. But I've heard it talked about for the 20 years I've been here that somehow we need to sewer the east side of the lake that's outside of the city, so it's not a city project, it's not a city cost. And yet I've never seen a mechanism that really began to say, there's at least a possibility of working down that road. That's why I brought it up as a third item, because it shows up on the list of priorities as number 5.
Correct.
And it's been talked about as long as I can remember being talked about. So it's more of an example that I think it could become a reality.
Well, in that case, and you know, I think you would retract the idea of having it be a capital outlay sewer, because then it actually becomes a contract. It becomes a material and service.
I would see it be more of a contract than anything else.
Would it be consulting then, or
something?
Yeah, it would be a consulting kind of.
I think that'd be a lot.
Yeah.
LA sewer item budget.
Be a consulting. It'd just be a transfer into consulting, or how
can you transfer? I mean, couldn't all of those items fall under consulting?
Consulting or contracting.
Or contract. Yeah, contracting is in consulting, correct?
No, they're individual. They're separate.
Okay, so we could maybe what the motion then needs to be, Jim, is that we allow debt service to be, you know, used by motion of the board to go towards additional consulting
or contracting.
Contracting. For the purposes listed, right?
Well, if you can say it, I'll second it. I'll withdraw.
Okay,
mine.
So I'm going to try.
All right.
That's right. So the
last motion is withdrawn. Mr. Hoover's motion is withdrawn, correct?
Okay.
So if it was ever on the floor, it's withdrawn.
Okay, so I will make a motion that we allow the debt service to be transferable into the consulting or contracting general fund to be used for sewering, dredging operations, or cafe acquisition.
Well, isn't a better way to say that to just the debt service can be used for consulting or contracting, period? What's wrong with that?
Fourth one, I have to include that.
I mean, the cafe has its own line item, so we should be able to just say, take cafe off of that for dredging or sewering as part of the district initiative.
I think that's what Brian is saying, yeah.
Right. Opportunities.
Sewer for contracts related to sewering for consulting related to sewering and or contracts related to dredging.
There you go. So motion. So do you need me to restate that, or do you want to read it back? General material and services, or do I need to do it?
It's the improvement.
Okay,
on improvement. Material and services, but
the improvement fund, correct, Paul?
Yeah, it's in the improvement fund.
No, Hoover. But if he wants.
So we don't have any further discussion, do we?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Has it been a half hour? I think so. So how for lunch, gentlemen? Half hour?
Half hour's fine.
Half hour.
Okay, we'll see you back here. 35?
Go for it.
It will take them a few years.
It'll take them to a
row from.
I don't even mind them.
Yes, you are. It's nice and windy out there.
Let's get this.
Yeah.
I think there's some impracticalities about it that they just don't seem to be aware of.
Here, let's resume our meeting, please.
Get off it.
Turn on the
If it was all private, where it goes.
Yeah, you,
the
afternoon. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I'm behind the city council desk right now. We're getting ready to jump back into the session. Give me a holler when you hit town, or just swing by and let's have a beer or something this afternoon. I should be hopefully done in the next couple hours, so I should be done in there by the time you get here. Okay? Cool.
So why don't we continue with... I think Douglas has a few more motions here. Why don't we just work our way through those?
Okay. Before doing that, we have a question on LB 11, line 26, capital outlay, property acquisition, which was primarily for CAFE, has a adopted budget this year for next year of $4,000. Couldn't figure out where that $1,000 came in from.
Yeah, it's the grant match that we had put in a couple years ago. The City of Lincoln City had an application for a large acquisition grant through OWEB for a parcel right off of West Devils Lake Road. Do you remember that now?
I understand.
Yeah, and so that's $1,000 provided they may. I mean, it was just a simple.
So that we never gave that to them?
No, because they never got the funds themselves. Okay. Their grant failed, and so it's there if they reapply, which had been their intent. I don't know if it still maintains to be.
It's resolved. Thank you, Douglas.
A number of us are concerned about...
Can you pull your microphone down?
Sorry about that. That better?
I could hear you, but I just was having to work really hard.
We're concerned about the future size and purpose of the district. And what we would like to see is the district to get back to its fundamentals. And what I would like to discuss is a motion to delete the funds in LB 11, line 22, $48,880, to remove the position of project manager from the 12-13 budget.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah, do we have a second for that motion?
Was that? Oh, that was a motion. I'm sorry.
I'll second it.
Mr. Chair?
Discussion? Yes.
I'm reading Mr. Peary's statement, I guess, the email that he sent out. And it makes several assumptions that... And I've also heard earlier during these proceedings that... I find puzzling. One is that the septic inspections the work on the septic inspections has been completed, and that I also heard this. I want to kind of address this, that the city isn't interested in participating. I think Jim
may have difficulty with the way it's out right now, is what I heard.
Well, there's certainly, as any big project, hurdles. And I'm speaking as a sitting city councilor right now, and the city is absolutely interested in proceeding. We had a workshop regarding this and spent several hours expressing our desire to get this done. With any project of this magnitude, and this is certainly big, particularly that's interagency, we've got the county that we're working with, and boy, there's just a lot of things that have to be done. There's going to be hurdles, and that's exactly what we're running into right now. But they're by no means insurmountable, and the feeling of the I guess I can only speak for myself is that this is just, this is the process.
cities are, you know, just basically they're big entities and they take a long time and they're bureaucracies and things just move slowly. And there's always snags that come up, and this is a snag. And it's my impression that the city and the city councilors are eager to figure out a way around it, and certainly don't feel like it's impossible. On that end, also speaking from the somebody that watches things in the city, how it's done, there's a lot on the city manager's plate. I think if you remove a project manager from the septic inspections, you will see it go away, or there's at least a better chance of it. You really need a champion. You need somebody to go and move it forward. You can't just sort of like lay out this is how it could be and then just drop it on the city manager's desk and hope that it gets done. You know, we're dealing with the annexation of Roads Inn. We're dealing with, you know, VRD consensus issues. We're dealing with all manners of different things. And certainly the city manager has his plate very, very full. And while he's interested in this project, my fear is that if you remove somebody to the liaison and the manager that's in charge of it, you know, it has a better chance of just being back burner, kind of put in turnaround. And while there'd be interest, if there's nobody bringing it forward, then it might go away. And I'm also curious, you know, the Save Our Shorelines project. You know, I'm not certain. I was under the impression that it was an ongoing project. I didn't feel like, from what I'd understood, that there was an end that had been reached. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Is there been closed?
No, just to answer your question, no, it hasn't been closed. There is a proposal for additional funding in the current budget to continue that, of which the project manager would be part and parcel of the material and services costs associated with the SOS program being administered and actually getting utilized. And so the SOS dollars are in the budget as well for that purpose. You bet. Yeah. I mean, so those are two things together.
Okay. And having addressed those issues and sort of making those pieces of this motion moot, I see that really all that's left here is that Seth should be commended for his hard work, and I'd like to go ahead and do that at this time. And I also say that I would be voting against this motion.
Well, that's fine.
Mr. Chairman? If I
yes,
may.
Sir.
As a business owner, I recognize that you don't get things accomplished without employees or somebody actually out doing the work. And so I'm not opposed to having boots on the ground or somebody that actually implements project. My concern is that I haven't observed a clear goal that's been stated or a cost related to that goal that I can use to evaluate whether or not the $50,000 that we spend on that position a year is actually providing a return to the taxpayers equal to $50,000. And by goal, I would say if we're talking about the sewers around the lake, I would expect a goal to be that we anticipate to reduce the X by a factor of whatever by accomplishing this, and therefore the time that Seth's putting into this project is warranted and his salary and position is something that's a good use of money. What I'm afraid I see, and this isn't related to Seth, just the job as it's being being done right now, is that we have somebody that we're paying a salary to that is doing work that we don't know really what the return is going to be on that work. We don't know whether the septics are contributing to 10% of the problem in the lake or 5%, or whether the dysfunctional septic tanks are 2% of that or 100% of that. And so for me, once again, it's really hard to sit on a budget committee, and if my role is as a citizen to not make policy, but to influence policy by where I choose to vote to put money, it's hard to say what are we actually getting in return of this. And it's easy to say, well, we're getting a program. My question isn't, are we getting a program? It's what kind of program are we getting in return for our money? Because I have no doubt that Seth goes out and works every day. I just don't know that there's a measurable return that I can recognize justifies putting $50,000 into that position of a project manager, or putting $50,000 into servicing a debt, or putting $50,000 into some other priority in that list of 22 priorities. So this isn't about Seth or his performance of the job. It's about, you know, what that position actually accomplishes. Is it measurable? Is it something that we can, or that I can say, I understand that these are taxpayer dollars that somebody earned, and they're getting a return on those dollars. And so that's my concern. With regards to the sewering or the inspection program that Mr. Ward referred to, the last meeting that I attended where the city manager made the comment, he indicated that the city was becoming a little more hesitant to become involved in this because they were understanding the liability they were incurring by being a part of this. And I think the words were, until, you know, the city can find a way that they can proceed with this without having a liability, you know, that as far as he was concerned, you know, they weren't going to proceed with it much further. And, you know, those two topics are somewhat related because we have a project manager who's out putting time into this with the hopes that the city is the mechanism that will be able to enforce some type of septic tank inspection. But we don't even know what the end game is. We don't know if this is a, we expect to accomplish this in a year. We don't have a proposal for how this is going to happen. We're, it seems or it appears to be kind of inventing the wheel as we're going, hoping that we can work through whatever we encounter, create a mechanism when we come up against it that then we can use to accomplish a goal that we haven't put definitions on. And we haven't even really, as I've observed, given any numbers as to why we're doing it, because we still don't, from what I've observed, know if these failed septic tanks contribute 5% of the overall problem is related to runoff from trees and birds and dogs and the golf course and everything else, or whether it contributes to 50% of the problem. So I don't know if that money is best spent in this mechanism or giving the golf course another way of fertilizing the golf course, or, you know, doing something that has a bigger return than what we're seeing right now.
Is there further discussion?
Yes. I understand where Mr. Peary's coming from, and I, not being personal at all, I think Seth is extremely capable and has done a great job. I doubt this is what he sees as his future, sticking around working for the water district. So eventually I would like to see this position ended, after, but only after some important things have been accomplished that haven't yet, and that would be the sewering of the lake. And so I'd like to see an end to it scheduled sometime in the future, but perhaps this year is not it. So
I guess I would like to add that, you know, I definitely agree with having goals and targets, and I think, you know, Seth's been a valuable resource over the years, and I do feel that, you know, like the chicken and egg, this is a decision that the board has to make on whether to continue with the position for the year, and we don't know what the board wants to do with that, in the coming month, right? Because contracts are up, and they're up for renewal, and, you know, should we be taking that option away from the board or not? I don't think so at this point, but, you know, I would trust that the board would make the decision and the scope of work such that if they decide to keep Seth for the coming year, that he would have, you know, goals and be able to attain them. That's all.
Mr. Peary?
Yeah, I raised the motion to determine if it was possible to get some timelines and plans of action so we could actually define how long this temporary position was to be kept. And I really, as a county taxpayer, do not particularly care to do the job of the city when it comes to work that should be done by their staff. And that goes along with a number of other projects, the motions of which I'm going to drop. I will withdraw my motion if the second will withdraw.
I will.
All right. We're talking about the project manager motion, correct? You're withdrawing that?
I withdraw.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Then do you have any other motions?
The final one is to convert the reserve fund of $760,000 to a restricted reserve fund. This will restrict the district to live within the general fund resources from year to year. This will give them access only to the current year tax levy. The resolution will direct a maximum possible percentage of the annual taxes to the restricted reserve fund. Restricted reserve fund would be held aside for a special project budget that would be presented to the citizens and authorized in election by a majority.
Do we have a second for that motion?
I'm not certain I understood that the first time through. I think I lost focus there. Could you say that one more time?
Yeah, just go ahead and read the whole thing.
Yeah. Convert the reserve fund of $760,000 to a restricted reserve fund.
Okay.
Okay?
I understand that. Yeah. I just want to read.
Get it from his email. We can put it to you if you don't have it.
So I'll second it so I can ask a question and discuss it.
All right, we have a second. Further discussion?
This is what Mitch was presenting this morning.
Correct. The question that comes up for me and anybody that I think in the general public that isn't a part of this meeting is, when we say convert the reserve fund of $760,000, what we're talking about is a reserve fund of $360,000, and this indebtedness that we've said will allow of $400,000. And so your motion, while I see merit to a part of it, really is a 360.
You're right. Because of that indebtedness of $400,000.
Because the indebtedness of the $400,000, which you've already let them spend at their will. Correctly.
So the only amount that really could be restricted would be on the order of 345.
And then the next question I have is the part of your motion where it says this will give them access to the current tax year levy. And I guess it's a question for Paul. The $360,000 we're talking about, what is the access that the board has to that $360,000, and how does that work? From my own knowledge, anybody else that might be listening or a part of this?
Sure. So currently the access it has would be laid out in last year's budget, and that would basically, thought I brought a copy, but basically whatever the appropriations were in that budget are accessible through June 30th this year. There was $100,000 for grass carp, which was appropriated, which was assumed not to be needed because of the time frame. There were some monies, about $100,000, which were reserved for future expenditures, so those would have been completely off limits. But somewhere between probably about $260,000, if we're and that number's less because we haven't brought this
right
networking capital in from the general fund at this point. So whatever the appropriations were or that we're currently under, which is, like I'm saying, monies for the grass carp, monies for the vegetation management, the watershed improvement section, all those that are already appropriated under this current year.
So then, as I'm understanding it, if I voted for this motion that has a second, it would preclude the board from being able to use the $100,000 that is budgeted in the proposed budget out of reserves until it was either a vote of the people or whatever the other part of that motion was?
Yeah, any
the $100,000 for grass carp you're referring
yeah.
to. Right?
Yeah, the $100,000 for grass carp, yeah, is an example.
Right. Yes. Yeah, after June 30th, absolutely.
After June 30th, yeah. Right.
And in fact,
we're voting next
year. We do have a copy
budget
of the old budget because it's in here. It's in our current budget.
We're doing this committee meeting. We can't make a motion for last year's budget and pass it and affect last year's budget. So we're talking about something that would be
July 1.
July 1. And I'm not even sure, as I'm thinking about it, I wanted to be able to discuss it, you know, how this committee creates that limitation on funding.
I guess I would ask the question that, you know, I think the district has a solid history of being fairly frugal with its money, and we, year after year, for, you know, quite some time now, we've built up a reserve fund through being thrifty. I don't understand, you know, what the purpose of now trying to lock the district out of being able to execute on the dying of the district itself and being able to appropriate and spend the funds which they have.
My thought,
where does the logic stem from? Is it because somebody is not getting everything that they want out of the board? It's troubling to me. This is troubling to me because this goes against what I see the mission of the board as, and it goes against the fact that there's no, in my opinion, there's no substantial proof that the board has, you know, wasted vast amounts of money over the years. So what is the purpose of it?
The question comes in when the basic is to keep the board from taking advantage of flyers like CAFE. If it were to come up and become available because of something, when it's that large an expenditure where it's going to cut into the reserve that you may need for purchasing a fish or doing dredging, doing emergency operations of one type or another, you don't want to keep digging into that reserve. You want that reserve maintained. You do not want it spent on a flyer.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Parks.
Mr. Hoover, that's okay. I guess my response to your question would be that if the makeup of the board changed over the next 4 years and the board decided that they wanted to use $360,000 in reserves to put in a 100-foot dock that they could, you know, do ski competitions off, the people in the district might say that wasn't the intent of building this reserve, the intent of the original bond measure, or the not bond measure, but the original taxing district that was set up, and it would give the voters more opportunity to be involved than just being at the will of the board. Not saying anything, the board right now. Pick the future. So I can see some benefit that way, and that it, without, and we're not talking emergency situations here, because we can build an emergency contingency into a budget, and we're talking large capital. I'm not sure CAFE would be the best example for my gut, but, you know, something that people really objected to, maybe. At the same time, I'm not interested in tying it up so tight that it can't ever be used, because you can't get a 50% vote for an issue and it always gets voted down, and so it continues to build and build and build and build and never gets used for its purposes. But for the point of discussion, and this meeting is probably as good as any, I respect and value, whether it's this board going rogue or another board that might get voted in because of the apathy on the part of the voters or people willing to run for office, that takes the board and says, you know, hey, there's this chunk of money. If we can get five people or four people elected at any one meeting, you know, we can put a proposal on and get past the next meeting, get a proposal on, get it voted, and it's done and over with. I like that checks and balances if that can be built in somehow. I'm just not sure this committee has the resources to do that or authority to do that.
Yeah, I find this proposal to be incredibly punitive and unhelpful, particularly for a disservice to the board, who before me has been financially responsible and put the money aside in very adverse conditions for we're all the rest of the government struggling with debt, and it's unhelpful. And I too agree with David, and I question the intent. I just don't get it.
Well, I think the intent is good, and I've heard it from other people. However, I do think that the issue of timeliness comes up. Let's say that someone wanted to, or let's say that the school wanted to sell for a good price, and we wouldn't. And we said that's fantastic. We can get this place for $300,000 or what have you. Then we'd have to place it on the ballot, and how long would that take? I mean, and then it's gone. The deal's gone. Someone else has purchased it because, after all, they heard it was a really good price like that, so they stepped up and took it. But I don't think there's anything punitive about it at all. I don't think it means that they distrust us. I just think that people would like to have more control than they have. I'd like to have more control of what the city does than I have right now. But so I don't take issue with the motion. But I would be not in favor because of the timeliness issue.
So just for my understanding, what during the regular budget year, what does it take to move money out of the reserve fund and make it available? A supplemental budget?
A supplemental budget. If you haven't appropriated money, you'd have to go through a supplemental budget.
So, I mean, there is a process that puts checks and balances, allows public intercourse in using those funds. It's not like we can write a check out of that account any day we choose to.
Well, unless we put $100,000 in. I mean, that is...
Right, unless you allocate it out.
Allocated to the budget, right. So the part that's not allocated to the budget would have a process,
exactly.
Maybe not similar to what he's talking about, but it would at least allow notification.
It would require a supplemental budget.
Yeah. It would require a supplemental budget. So, like I say, I seconded it for the opportunity to have a discussion and become a little familiar with how this process works. So I'll call for a vote.
Is there further discussion?
Well, committee member can't call for a vote or ask for a vote.
Well, let's just, there may be someone else who has something to say, Jim. any further discussion? All right, all those in favor of the motion signify by raising your hand. All those opposed signify by raising your hand. Of a 7-1 vote with one absentee, Mr. Ward. All right. Any other discussion by members of the committee? All right. The time for the budget committee recommendation. We've made, as I understand, one adjustment via note to the budget as recommended by the budget officer.
I have one more question, if I could just back up one second, because I was scanning my notes here and I did come across one. Am I correct, Paul, that our present budget, with the exception of the negotiations for Seth's position, do not include pay increases? I didn't see that addressed in the.
So the one position had an increase; the other one did not. If that answers your question,
the one your position or
correct? There was no.
Because the way I read it in here is that there wasn't
year, that the year prior, for that matter.
So I thought I read in here that there wasn't any additional money for the director's position. Is that because we had more than we needed last year in the budget?
It's the same from last year as well as 2 years ago.
But the amount in the budget does it actually reflect the salary, or is it still over the salary so next year we could not increase the budget and still allow for an increase in pay?
The current contract is below what was budgeted last year.
Okay, so is a comment then, once again for transparency and in the budget message, maybe I missed it, but I read looking for it. I didn't see where it said
the employee of the district is getting a whatever percentage or however that was arrived at pay increase. What I saw was the exact opposite, which was the budget figure for the director's salary has remained the same, which would, if I was reading it and not able to ask a question directly in this meeting, or if I was watching on TV and somebody didn't ask it, or if I was looking at this online, would indicate to me that we weren't providing any pay increase because of the way it was worded. So I guess my question is, you know, does this budget simply allow the board the ability to increase that, or are we, by authorizing this, including a pay increase? I think I know the answer, but I'm asking it.
I think the answer is that the board could authorize a salary for the manager up to the amount budgeted for this year.
So there's all kinds of
so
questions.
That would be and
how
that
much
would
room
amount
have we left?
That would amount to a raise from last year if the board did that.
So yeah. How much room have we left in the budget for the board to be able to increase the director's salary? Because I don't see anything in here that indicates the director's salary, and yet I'm charged, I guess, with making sure that there's the opportunity for the board to increase it should they choose to do it. And I don't know if it's $5 or $500 or $1,000 over and above what we're presently paying. And I think that's public record, so I don't think I'm asking for, you know, any privileged information here.
No, of course not. But what is it, Paul?
It would be within the current budget. So this goes back 2 years, too. That's why I say there hasn't been a change from 2 years ago or last year. The amount available is 104% of the current contract. So for the last two full cycles, there has been basically a 4% opportunity, if you will, for the board to change that contract.
And they haven't done that?
Correct.
Okay, so then as a member of the budget committee, if I felt that since most public employees are getting 3% a year and there's only 4% increase in the budget figure and you haven't had one for the last 2 years, I'd be needing to put 9% in there to match the 3% a year.
Correct.
Or nine, I mean, it compounds on top of
it. It would compound, so
yeah,
like it would be 9.
But in general.
4 or
okay.
Whatever, yeah.
That was the question.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Brian, for allowing me to ask that question again.
Sure.
Can I ask something, Brian?
Mr. Ward?
Thank you.
Big Ward. Old Ward.
nearer to death Ward. does that mean that we're limited? I'm throwing this out to anybody. That we're limited to a four, if you just hit the lottery for us, the most we can reward you with a raise this year would be 4%. Is that what?
I think at the board's discretion, we can adjust a budget item by 15%. Is that correct?
You can move
if we truly
within the
to.
Fund.
If we wanted to.
Within the fund. You
within
can
the
move
fund.
The whole thing.
We can shift a few things
okay.
around.
Yeah. That was it. Short question.
Through resolution. Yeah.
Through resolution.
So then the same question would apply to the project manager's position. How much latitude have we allowed the board within the project manager's position? You know, as an employer, I'm concerned that if we've got good people and the board says this is a real asset and I'm not on the board to make that decision, I want to know what I've left the board in that position over and above what's being paid this year to increase it without having to go into that 15% or be limited.
Yeah, I think this current budget offers an additional, and I can't remember if it's 3 or 4% above last year's contract. So that's already embedded in this current proposal.
Okay.
So if you wanted to provide more, or the board wanted to provide more, then they also, by resolution, within the improvement fund could take money out of material and services or something else to do that.
But right now we're leaving roughly 3 or 4% in there within that budget line item.
Correct.
For that position if they chose to negotiate the contract.
Correct.
Okay. Wasn't it 5% last year?
Last year, I don't honestly recall what was contracted.
I'm sure
for.
It was 5%.
But what we went through last year was there was a cost that wouldn't have gone to salary that would have gone to insurance. And because when we were fortunate enough to get this position started, it was through a grant match program that we had provided. So we had gotten some AmeriCorps dollars effectively through the University of Oregon's RARE program. And then we had put in some money. And then what we paid for in salary and what they paid for in salary provided the position. And then we paid a fraction, or basically the University of Oregon gets a better insurance rate for student age people, frankly, is why I think that's the reason, then the district can, and that's all special districts across the state of Oregon, because some of us are 42, some of us are 62, you know, and there's some cost involved in that, and that's an assumption. But certainly the insurance costs were significantly less, one quarter of what we were paying, and so that's where the cost increase mostly came from.
I remember that.
So then are we paying the actual burden to the taxpayers through this budget, is it the same as last year, or are we paying the full 100% where last year we were paying 50% or whatever that
last
amount?
Last year we paid 100%. The year before.
A year before, yes. We paid 100%. Okay.
David's correct, right.
Okay. And then one other question, Brian, and I'm glad I had a second to look back at my notes here because they were kind of scribbled. I'm concerned that we glossed over the $5,000 for the Watershed Council Support Group and not knowing whether the chicken or the egg applies in this situation, knowing that there's a lot of verbiage in here describing this grant and how it's going to be used, it sounds to me like it's the chicken first, if that's the right analogy. It says there's a whole bunch of uses for this money, funding, labor, and studies. And I guess the question is, why $5,000? What we're getting for $5,000? You know, why not $2,000? Why not $10,000? It's back to this question of, I'm not opposed to funding or providing a grant or allocating money, as long as I understand the little bigger picture and know what I'm getting for it. Because if that $5,000 gets into the first meeting, they all say, oh, we just can't accomplish this for $5,000, and the county throws in the hat, then we just spent $5,000 for not much of a return. If we have a plan that says this $5,000 funds the watershed district or group to the point where they can be a part of this for the next 2 or 3 years, and we anticipate that, is the length of time it's going to take to actually get a plan or proposal or find out that this has got funding sources or doesn't have funding sources, then that's a different scenario for me. And I don't have any understanding based on the message from the budget message of what that $5,000, how it arrived, where that number came from, what that number provides, what part of that is that going to be another $5,000 next year, and you know, for the 10 years that county and state and all these government agencies do, like on Highway 20, try to find a solution, we pay $5,000 a year for the next, because they've become...
Can I interject?
Yeah.
So on page 24 of the budget narrative, it explains that paragraph 3, what is proposed in the district's budget is a council support grant of $5,000 to be dedicated to this project. These monies would supplement the financial support of approximately what is estimated to be $25,000 from the county, which may be able to be provided through its own budget. So in order to address your question, the anticipation is that the funding would be about $30,000 of cost, and that the project would be beginning and with the objective of moving forward within the current year.
Yeah, but we're not giving five to the county to add to their 25 to make 30.
No, we're adding. The proposal would be to add $5,000 to the Salmon Drift Creek Watershed Council as a support grant, which would also be supplemented through the county's $25,000 to support the East Devils Lake Road.
So is the county giving them $25,000 also?
Potentially, yes. That's the understanding that I have. That's a budget process too. You know, this is a budget item in the county that's going forward. So in order to come in sync and come together at the same time, it's proposed in our budget.
So I'm reading things in here like to help supplement staff salary and benefits, fishery consultant needs, publication expenses, and then a comma, as well as office and travel expenses associated with the facilitation of this project. So it doesn't sound to me like there's a, we're going to get $5,000 of direct return on this. It sounds like we're giving $5,000, or we're giving the board the opportunity to give $5,000 that will go to the Drift Creek Watershed Council, and one of their items that they're working on is to possibly work with the county when they put in $25,000. And it's difficult, this being an item that came in at the last moment, not having any kind of board.
I understand your concerns and questions, and
well, good.
What this
the general public might
doesn't
not too.
Suggest, though, is that it's a general support grant for other projects. What it says, and it is pretty explicit. I tried to put in. I've got a page and a half of dialogue there, and then plus you do have the two-page request letter to try to outline the project. So as far as the percentage of information relative to the funding request or the opportunity for appropriation, it's actually on the heavy-handed side, I think, in my opinion. But I know that, Jim, you had a question or a comment.
Mr. Parks?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, looks potentially there's terrific bounce for the buck here. I mean, if this actually results in something getting done for across the the Rock Creek tributary, I mean, that's
30,000 to 7 million.
And
bounce
and that's,
for the buck.
Yeah,
you can get it for that. That's a great return.
5,000 to 7 million, not
30. I thank you for the opportunity to bring it to discussion. I thought it was important to get it on the record and have an understanding. We talked about it briefly. We just hadn't.
No, I hear you, yeah.
All right, well, I think it's... is there any further discussion? It's recommendation time. I'll move that the... this budget committee recommends to the district board adoption of the budget officer version of the budget for fiscal year 2012-2013 as amended by motion at this meeting.
I do have one thing that I think that Jim had brought up earlier in a motion that to make sure that we have a reference to the charter by the mission statement in the beginning of the document.
Mm-hmm.
Take a motion to get that in there, or can we?
I've already kind of just thought that to include that.
Okay.
But yeah, if
I just want to make sure that
wasn't
it was there before.
It wasn't a consensus, we wouldn't do that. But it's a simple thing.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. That's okay. We have a second?
Second.
Further discuss?
I did.
Further discussion? All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? Appears to be unanimous. Unanimously passed. The motion is unanimously passed.
As just a follow-on, if we could get a motion relative to setting the tax assessments for the year, it's indicative of the budget already. But if there's a second motion on the record relative to,
I know we need a resolution
we need one at the hearing as well, but from the budget committee.
All right. Where can I find that number?
So those numbers would be on the LB50s. We have two of which. That's it. Some of the last worksheets. Like this one.
So you just need a motion to adopt the tax rate associated with the fiscal year 2012-2013 inside watershed and outside watershed tax rates identified in LB 50.
Yep.
They're the same inside and outside?
No, the inside rate is 0.2499 per thousand, or almost a quarter, you know, 25 cents per 100 per thousand. And the outside rate is 0.1280. So
fine, I see the inside rate is 0.1280 also.
So should I? I'll restate.
So to the assessor of Lincoln County on the back side of that, it doesn't say subject to outside the watershed 0.12, inside 0.1280.
No, that's
two different.
All right.
Forms.
Okay. Yeah.
So I will be more specific then. I move that we adopt the tax rates defined in the LB 50 attachments to the 2012-2013 budget of 0.2499 for inside watershed rate and 0.1280 for outside watershed rates.
I'll second that motion. Discussion? All those in favor signify by raising your hand. All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
All right. Unless there's further business to come before the committee, I would move that we adjourn. Is there a second to that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Thank you all. I appreciate all the time and energy that went into today's meeting and reviewing these budget items.
It would. They do anyways.
Souls been told.